Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live. It is Monday, the 22nd day of September 2011. We're going to be live here for the next 3 hours. Tad Lumpkin, the director of the great animated documentary about the history of the banking cartel, will be joining us, maker of American Dream. We'll be in studio in the second hour, and we'll have open phones in the second and third hour today, probably even in the first hour today. I've got an article that just went up at Infowars.com. Ron Paul is half a step from first place. And it breaks down a very simple but central fact that's hidden in plain view. Rick Perry has begun a rapid descent in all the poll numbers. Every conservative talk show I tuned into this morning, spot checking, was talking about the fall of Rick Perry. Now, I said that yesterday, and some people thought, well, that's a little bit premature. Well, if we seize the moment and actually use this opening to further expose his agenda, it's over for Rick Perry. And it's the same thing for Mitt Romney. Here's Raw story. They've got a report. Fox News panel. Perry campaign near total collapse. And that's Brit Hume on Fox News Sunday. Also, we've got the Miami Herald, a similar headline. Rick Perry in deep trouble. Rick Perry is for completely open borders. Rick Perry is for in-state tuition for illegals when U.S. citizens don't get it in Texas. Rick Perry is for forced inoculations. Rick Perry is for handing our roads over to foreign companies. Rick Perry supported Hillary Care. That's even worse than Obamacare. Rick Perry worked for Al Gore. This stuff is absolute political cyanide. Now, in the short term, this is helping Mitt Romney. Ladies and gentlemen, Mitt Romney is exactly the same. The exact same behavior. Why? Because he works for the exact same people. So if you do the math, Ron Paul in Rasmussen, in Gallup polls, and in others, is number three or number two. But in most polls, number three, that's what Ron Paul said in the last debate, I'm in third place right now. I'll pick a vice presidential running mate when I'm in first or second. Ladies and gentlemen, as Rick Perry falls to the wayside, and as Mitt Romney is destroyed, we have the weapon, we have the truth, we can destroy him, Ron Paul will be number one. He's already number two in fundraising. He's already number two in the Republican camp behind Mitt Romney. Perry hadn't released numbers yet. Regardless, number two, number three, we don't know. They say number two. Number three doesn't matter. He's number three in the polls. He's number two in fundraising. That is a major contender, ladies and gentlemen. And we have absolute, total, and complete ability to destroy Rick Perry and Mitt Romney. So all I have to say to you is fire at will. Fire, fire, fire. Do not wait for orders from headquarters. You're like, well, there's electronic voting machines. Well, there's corruption. So what? Destroy their candidates. Destroy them. Their election fraud systems, we've analyzed the enemy system, cannot defeat a landslide. Stop being losers. Stop thinking we can't win. We win by fighting back. We win by speaking up. You think America's awake today? Imagine if Ron Paul gives them a full run. How many people that's going to wake up? We win either way. The only question is, how much blood do we get spilt on the ground from the enemy's guts? This psycho. Be right back. Stay with me.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, we're live, ladies and gentlemen. It is Monday, the 26th day of September 2011. We're going to have open phones throughout the broadcast, and we have Tad Lumpkin, director and maker of the powerful film American Dream, joining us in studio. Not even so much talk about American Dream, but just to give us his political views and philosophy. Since I first interviewed him a few months ago, I found that he's a very informative and interesting person. So he'll be joining us also with his writing partner as well. He's going to be in here with us. They're working on some new exciting projects. Okay, here is some of the news we've got today. Fed program to monitor conversations is intimidation tactic. That's from Paul Joseph Watson. Zero Hedge first reported on this yesterday. But if you go back to 2.5-3 years ago, within the Fed protest, we confirmed had U.S. Army at them in plain clothes, including events Ron Paul was at. And they told the military in plain clothes, don't let Ron Paul people or Ron Paul know your army. He may try to kill you. So this is just the demonization of people that are actually Americans, people that actually understand our system of government. The traitors have taken over the government. So, of course, they're going to announce anybody that knows they're traitors, anybody that knows they're illegitimate hijackers of the system. Of course, they're going to name us bad guys. It'd be like if a hijacker could somehow fool a airline passenger list that he was really the captain, and somebody got him and said, that's not the captain. Look, you know, his uniform doesn't even fit. I saw him conk the captain on the head, tell him to open the cockpit door up and show us. And they're like, shut up, that guy's a terrorist. Well, we haven't hijacked the plane. It's ridiculous. So Paul Watson has the full breakdown on that. Fed program to monitor conversations, and this has been announced. They've announced the Federal Reserve's put out purchase orders or requests for bids for a system to track all activity on the web and all comments about them and to basically counter them. Because, see, this is the government. It's illegitimate, but it is the government. If you've been kidnapped and somebody's got you in a basement and they're holding you ransom, they are the government. They are the people that run your life while you're chained down. And you're not going to get food and water or you're not going to live if they don't want you to. So, of course, the government has the army who works for them. Of course, the private hijackers of the government have the army outed in the Fed peaceful protest. Going back to 2008, so I guess 3 years. That's covered in the Obama deception. Of course, they're at Ron Paul events in Houston, surveilling the congressman. This is an outside group that's hijacked our military and our country and is training the police in manuals going back 3 years as well that anyone who wants to, quote, abolish or audit the Fed is a terrorist. And they get cops in big stadium-sized halls and sit there and tell them, if somebody doesn't like the Federal Reserve, they hate America and they want to kill you. The cops actually sit there and believe it. Oh, really? These people don't like our precious Federal Reserve. Yeah, the ones that have stolen tens of trillions of dollars. The ones that are openly setting up world government. The private Federal Reserve, whose foreign arms have looted all these third world countries. They've got the system working for them. And it's an emergency situation to reach out to the police and military. But look, it's already too late for the establishment. You can pull up the polls. I don't know, 2-3 years ago, it was 70%+. Now it's 80%+ want to abolish or audit or restructure the private Federal Reserve. I'm here to tell you, 17 years ago when I first got on air, in 1995-96, maybe 1 out of 100 people knew the Federal Reserve was private, like Federal Express or Federal Credit Union or Federal Cleaners or Federal Ammunition. I would get hundreds of phone calls, half the phone calls on the local radio show and on the Access TV show or more were saying, you're a nut, you're a liar, the Federal Reserve is not private. And I heard it's code word for racism to say it is. That's what the media would try to use. Just like if you said, I'm against getting rid of posse comitatus. I don't want troops on the streets. They had put out manuals, the ADL and others, saying posse comitatus is a code word for hating black people. No, it's Latin. For the fact that you're going to have a local posse, not a federal posse, on your streets. Just like, hey, I don't want government-run health care. It's a really scary idea. It hadn't worked anywhere else. Gives total power to the government. What does Chris Matthews, Carlos Watson, what do they all say on MSNBC? Not being for health care is racism. You're like, what does that have to do? It's like somebody brings you a tuna fish sandwich. You say, I'd rather not tuna. Can I have the patty melt? And they're like, oh, don't like fish. That's racist. You're like, what does that have to do with race? I want to make my own choice. Or, you know, I like a brown suit, not a blue suit. Oh, that's racism. Everybody knows if you like a brown suit, you're racist against cardinal birds. And you're like, what does racism have to do with birds? Just shut up, racist. We've heard enough from you. It's supposed to be nonsensical, like a cattle prod politically. They know you're a bleeding heart, self-loathing liberal who wants to prove that you're self-hating. So they just say, give your rights up or we say you're a racist. People say, okay, well, I'll do whatever you say then. Let us put carbon taxes on you and run your life, or we'll say you're killing the earth. What has Al Gore now said? He said it's akin to racism and segregation to not support paying him money. And he's told his people, go out and get in their face and say they're racist. And they even ask him in these different talk shows, they go, where he's, you know, on with his acolytes, they say, sir, but what does race have to do? And he goes, just do it. And they go, yes, sir. And it works. Hey, you're going to pay me carbon taxes for any human activity, but I don't want to. Shut up, racist. Okay, I'll pay you. I'm sorry. All right, I'm now digressing. The point is, you would talk about the Federal Reserve 15 years ago, even 10 years ago, and they'd say, that's racism. That's that talking about big banks. Why, that means that's anti-Semitic. Don't talk bad about the big banks. No one better do that or you're anti-Semitic. But see, now people have gone past that. The system labeling it anti-Semitic, which actually then tied it to Semitic issues and actually put that on the radar. See how that works? See how the establishment always wants it to be divide and conquer instead of, hey, we don't want a private banking system getting paid U.S. taxpayer money for the right for the government to issue its own credit. The government will issue its own currency and credit. Why? Because that's common sense and that's in the Constitution. And it gets into a whole monetary debate. But this is really a big deal. Fed program to monitor conversations is intimidation tactic. The blogosphere has exploded with interest over the Federal Reserve's move to follow in the footsteps of the Obama's campaign attack watch by monitoring and identifying its critics. Attack watch implies it's illegal to criticize Obama, and they've run newscasts in Missouri actually saying that. But many seem to have missed the obvious intention of the announcement. It's an intimidation tactic designed to chill dissent. As Zero Hedge explains, the Federal Reserve is requesting the creation of a social listing platform whose function is to gather data from various social media outlets and news sources. It will monitor billions, this is a quote, of conversations and generate text analytics based on predefined criteria. The Fed's desired product should be able to determine, quote, the sentiment of a speaker or writer with respect to some topic or document. The solution must be able to gather data from the primary social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, blogs, forums, and YouTube. It should also be able to aggregate data from various media outlets, such as CNN, Wall Street Journal, Factiva, etc. Most importantly, the listening platform should be able, this is a quote, to handle crisis situations, continuously monitoring conversations, identify, and reach out to key bloggers and influencers. Now, let me tell you what's really going on with this. When you get 80%+ of the public realizing presidents are puppets bought and paid for, and that the one guy who knows that the Federal Reserve is the enemy of the Republic and is willing to fight it, who has a chance to be president, who's real, is being demonized and attacked. When that starts happening, you start getting Dylan Radigan and all these others criticizing the Federal Reserve, and even Fox News starts allowing Glenn Beck to do it for a time, or Judge Napolitano to do it, or Lou Dobbs to do it, because that's wildly popular. For decades, didn't exist, isn't private, is federal, you're crazy if you talk about it, oh, you're kooks. But remember 3 years ago, whenever Dick Morris got up with Sean Hannity and said, well, the people that thought that a world government was forming that would get rid of U.S. sovereignty run by a banking cartel, they had been crazy conspiracy theorists, but now they're right. And then that was the signal by one of their top political analysts that, look, we've lost this game of denying that it exists. Now we've got to act like we're going to fight it. And Rick Perry 3 years ago went from supporting the Federal Reserve to talking bad about it and basically did a 180 from the way he'd actually been. Suddenly he introduced legislation to end sanctuary cities, but quietly killed it himself behind the scenes. Now it's come out he supported sanctuary cities and in-state tuition for illegals, something other American citizens don't get. Now all of this is destroying him. And so the Fed is analyzing media, mainly mainstream with this, but also internet, to target people, to attack people. But more importantly, it's getting so popular to bash the Fed that mainline people are starting to do it. They need to keep tabs on that so they can put pressure through the executives. See, the Federal Reserve realizes they're on fire right now and going down. You know, we should really be in a lot more positive mode. All of us should be very, very excited right now. Gardasil is one of the biggest national issues. The vast majority of people, upwards of 90% in national polls I've seen, think that it's a horrible idea to take it and know that it's wrong that Perry lied and said it was the law to take it. The Federal Reserve is incredibly unpopular. The actual ruling elite are now being targeted. We're not just debating their front men. They want you to think the buck stops with the president. They want you to think the power structure stops there. Because if you ever start looking at the oligarchs that run this country, their system is over, as Zbigniew Brzezinski said last year. Once the real governing class is identified, and once it's shown that they're a pack of criminals waging war against the family, against the free market, and trying to set up a form of neo-colonialistic collectivist grids with their fascist system on top of it, it's over for them. And so what is Infowars.com reporting? What is Fox News reporting? What is the Miami Herald reporting? What is the Raw Story reporting? Again, I have a pretty good political understanding. And that's why I've been saying we're going to see the fall of Rick Perry. I told you we'd see the fall of Rick Perry before he even announced. I told you that we would see Rick Perry propped up by the mainstream media. I told you you would see Rick Perry basically being shoved out there and sold as the second coming of Ronald Reagan. I told you he would break his pledge not to run. I have told you exactly what was going to happen all along. And I also said in the last few months that if we go after Perry on the open borders, on the sanctuary cities, on the in-state tuition, on the Vicente Fox awards that Vicente Fox gave him, now that video's resurfaced to myself and others confronting Perry and Fox, and shutting down their press conference, that's now getting a lot of attention. It's up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com from 2003. That we could bring Rick Perry down. And I was listening to talk radio this morning, San Antonio, Austin, and Dallas. Caller after caller going, I didn't know he supported sanctuary cities. I didn't know he worked for Al Gore. I didn't know he supported Hillary Care. I didn't know he went to Bilderberg Group. I didn't know. 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 Now, this is very elementary, and I want you to listen to me very carefully. I know you know this. We got to get this out to everybody right now through Facebook, through Twitter. You've got to get the Infowars.com article Kurt Nemo's written and get it out to everybody you know. And we're going to give you that headline here in just a moment. Ron Paul is half a step from first place. Kurt Nemo and Alex Jones. Kurt and I put this article together this morning. It's got the facts there for you. Please get it out to everyone you know. Now, here's the elementary fact. Ron Paul is undisputedly in third place. If you put together all the straw polls and money raising and the rest of it, second place. Maybe even first. But let's just say he is in third like he has said. You've got two guys who both support socialist government health care, who both supported carbon taxes, who both supported giant highway grabs to Centra of Spain, who both support forced inoculation, and who both have been supported by Al Gore. Al Gore's praised both of them. These guys are phony. They became Tea Party talkers when it became cool, but only to get elected. And Perry, you've heard him. He says, you don't have a big heart. You're cold-blooded if you don't want to give illegals in-state tuition. Well, somebody from New York who comes to Texas doesn't get it. Somebody from Oklahoma doesn't. That's a $91,000 value on average, Dallas Morning News is reporting. 81% of the jobs formed in the last 5 years in Texas. That's Dallas Morning News as well. State Commission admits 81% are not citizens. They're immigrants. And 93% of that 81% are illegal aliens. Okay? So, the record, now this is the key, I'm going to say it right now. Listen to me carefully, because I love to give facts and statistics, but here's the simple key. The elites can only give you another establishment candidate if we the people don't get the word out. All right, I'm going to go to break, come back with the big key. And again, this key is simple. But I want everybody to pay attention to it and to listen to me very, very carefully. Then I'll get to other news in your phone calls. I've got a video clip, Fox News panel, Perry campaign quote near total collapse. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Financial situation is going exactly as the globalists have planned, holding the planet hostage so they get more power, and then holding us a hostage again, getting more power, and then holding us hostage again and getting more power and launching more wars. But the hypocrisy is starting to come out, and the Germans and the French and others, the establishment candidates, are losing more elections. The problem is then the other party that comes into power is bought and paid for by the same interest. But the public is becoming wise to the scam. Okay, here's the big, ultra-simple point that needs to be gotten out there. And it is enshrined in the article by Kurt Nemo and Alex Jones at Infowars.com. Ron Paul is half a step from first place. And why did I go to that headline? Well, I watched this Fox News clip this morning. I hadn't seen it until this morning, but they said it yesterday on Fox News Sunday. Fox News panel, Perry campaign near total collapse. And if you go to the quote, Britt Hume said that he is half a step away from total collapse. Now, what does half a step towards total collapse for Rick Perry mean for Ron Paul? We've seen Rick Perry surge to number one when he said abolish the Federal Reserve. They're treasonous. They're treacherous. You know, I want to battle the New World Order. Suddenly, that's not bad to talk like that, as Limbaugh has always said with his kook detector. now it was good, and Limbaugh said it was good, and Glenn Beck said it was good, and the Republican establishment was like, yay! So Rick Perry tried to become Ron Paul, surged to number one in every major poll, and then for a month, we, that is those of us that know the truth, put out his real record. And when he got called on his record, you were for sanctuary cities. You were for in-state tuition. He said, yeah, you betcha. And you don't have a heart if you aren't. Really, if you go down to Mexico and ask for free tuition, you'll just get arrested. I mean, they don't have illegals in their school system, period. Mexico has the most draconian immigration laws in this hemisphere. Don't believe me, just type in Mexico admits most draconian or strongest immigration laws. I mean, you get hard labor in a prison 6 months to 1 year. You get beaten if you're lucky. There's only certain areas of Mexico that foreigners can even buy land. And a lot of that's taken by the government. So what, Mexico doesn't have a heart? Oh, I forgot. The Southwest is Mexico, and that's taught in Mexico schools. I mean, let's just be honest about this, that we're a bankrupt country. And in Texas, they take our tax money to pay for the in-state school system. So when you get in-state tuition, it's about half what it is if you're from Oklahoma or Arkansas or Mississippi or Louisiana, or not just bordering states, any state. If you're a Hispanic, black, white, if you're an American, you try to come to Texas to go to UT or any other state school, you're going to pay roughly double. Or, what the Dallas Morning News breaks down, $91,000 more for a four-year degree. Oh, what about having a heart for other people? Well, see, Texans paid for that. Side issue, though. Side issue. George Bush was for open borders. NAFTA and GATT. Doesn't help Mexico, doesn't help us. Lowers all of our wages. Mexican wages go down, U.S. wages go down. If Mexico wouldn't have had the U.S. to dump 30 million people in, they would have had a real revolution. By the way, I saw the new numbers this morning, and I even heard local Fox cover it, but I didn't even know this. They're now reporting 40,000 dead in the last 4 years. So I have a tendency to quote old numbers, you know, 30,000. It's now 40,000 dead in drug war on the U.S.-Mexico border. 40,000. Ladies and gentlemen, Vietnam in a decade was 58,000. 40,000. And they actually called it a war on the news. And if you watch the video of myself 7-8 years ago confronting Vicente Fox and Rick Perry, there's Perry. They're getting an award from Fox. Fox drives by with like 30 motorcycles or more and all these other police cars, like he was the president of the planet, pulls up in front of the governor's mansion, rolls down his window, gives us a dirty look. He had like green color to his face, like a vampire in the nighttime light. He's like 6 feet away. He rolled the window down and gave me a look that actually made me shudder. I mean, I'll admit it. It was like, I've never had a leader actually make me shudder. He rolled the window down. It was like, he was like green, like some vampire, and smiled at us with just pure evil. Everybody was like, whoo, wasn't just me. Everybody's like, ah, we have to dig through that video. The guy that runs our YouTube channel actually found it in the prisonplanet.tv archives. It's prisonplanet.tv has been around that long. And I know if we find that original video somewhere around here, if we blew it up, because it was shot digitally, I know you can barely see his face in the footage, but it looks not too good on YouTube. It's up on prisonplanet.tv, like I said. And then they pull around and went down there, and I went and bullhorned them while they had their press conference. And the cops come up and were going to arrest me. And I said, go ahead, but you know you've lost personal lawsuits, a whole bunch of them right here in Austin just a few years ago. Back in 2000 they had, so that was a few years ago in 2003. And the cops backed off, did their job, didn't violate the First Amendment. So I was able to shut their press conference down, and we have those newscasts where you can hear me talking over them from about 70 yards away from the street, bullhorning up towards the press conference. So they just shut the press conference down. All right, now I'm digressing. You tuned in. I said I was going to get to the key, simple point, because I have a problem. I have trouble giving sound bites. I have trouble just making things simple. I see detail. I see complex connections. I want to go through it all. I literally just pretty much start, I turn the microphone on and just start spilling out information. Here's the big news flash. Ron Paul is half a step from first place. Ron Paul is half a step from first place. Why? Because if you expose Rick Perry's record, he will be politically destroyed for the nightmare, slimy, globalist, big government politician he is. For the poser, for the political chameleon he is, and Ron Paul, who's number three, will become number two. If you destroy Mitt Romney, who is exactly the same, sanctuary cities, in-state tuition-free illegals, wrote Obamacare on record, supports carbon taxes, is praised by Al Gore, and it goes on and on. If you use his record against him, it is like pouring gasoline on the ground and throwing a match in it. It's going to explode. He will burn down. Both of these guys are so weak and so pathetic. All we've got to do is crush them. Now, this is a big test for the old dying dinosaur media. I'm going to get to that in a moment. Ron Paul is already the second biggest earner. Ron Paul is winning most of the straw polls, and in scientific polls is number two or number three. So, we destroy Rick Perry, we destroy Mitt Romney with their records, and it is Ron Paul. Now, they're going to try to bring in Chris Christie and hope you don't look at his carbon tax record. Oh, you didn't know that about him? Or his gun grabbing? Oh, he did some austerity and shut down some government projects? Whoop-dee-doo. What about corporate welfare? What about supporting bailouts? They hope that you don't find out about Jabba the Hutt. They'll try to bring him in. Okay, it'll take them a few months to figure out him. And then if that doesn't work, they'll throw in some more and say, oh, they're the new leader. But see, cycles have sped up now. It doesn't take 5 years to figure out a politician's a dirty, two-faced liar. People find out in months now. We need to make it weeks. And I'll tell you, one reason Rick Perry has been exposed is the Drudge Report. It's bigger than the New York Times and Facebook and Twitter combined. They've had big actuaries out over and over again this year proving it. Number one news driver in the world, and he has been linking to the Tea Party sites that have Rick Perry supporting carbon taxes and Al Gore and government-run health care and the rest of it. And he's been linking to stuff about Mitt Romney. Not as much because people haven't been getting out as much on Mitt Romney. But Infowars.com, DrudgeReport.com, these are big sites that are able to actually get something on the agenda past the mainstream corporate whore media. And I will assure you, this proves the Drudge Report is totally independent, because if he was part of the Republican Party structure, he would not be destroying Rick Perry. He would not be getting ready to destroy Mitt Romney. And people ought to be praying for Matt Drudge, because I can tell you right now, Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com together are huge. But nothing compared to Drudge Report. You had my YouTube videos, the radio show, all of it. We've probably got total person reach, 70% of the audience of a Matt Drudge. But Matt Drudge is just articles. It's just agenda. He can set the agenda. That's something we're not. We're 20% of Drudge in that department. Okay, Facebook's 20-30%. I mean, it's all fractured, a bunch of people scurrying around, even though overall it's much bigger overall than Drudge. Drudge is like a Death Star particle beam of focused energy. And that's the most important thing in this world, is to be able to break through that electronic Berlin Wall and actually put something on the plate, on the agenda, on the menu that the establishment doesn't want there. So I've said it a lot of different ways, but I'm going to say it to you this way. Ron Paul is in third place, no debate. In many respects, he's in first place in the real world. Let's just say he's in third, as he said. That's conservative. If we destroy Mitt Romney and Rick Perry with their record, and they deserve it, and stop being naive and don't buy into the latest version of establishment Kendall. We've already had Obama. Now we've got the two new Kendalls on the Republican side. It's over for them. And they'll try every dirty trick against Ron Paul. They'll throw everything at him. So what? So what if it's a rigged game? We still take the field and show it's a rigged game. I went and saw a great movie. I know it won Sundance Film Festival and some others, but I went and saw Senna about the Formula One race car driver. Because of all the sports out there, race car driving is gladiatorial. People die. It's all about, you know, the equipment and the individual, and there's the politics. And I don't remember why I brought up that movie now. I had an analogy about Ron Paul I wanted to bring up. Oh, yeah. Even though Formula One got caught rigging things and letting cars have computers when he couldn't because they got jealous of him beating all their champions, and even though he ended up getting killed in the end, they recognized him as the best Formula One driver ever. And he would go out even when they were cheating him and still sometimes lose, but sometimes beat them, and that's what made him even the greater champion. You don't, just because something's rigged, not get on the field. You have to get on the field to show that it's rigged. I don't know how else I'm supposed to explain this to people, ladies and gentlemen. I took my wife to see that. It's an excellent movie. Just because it's about the whole system against one guy and rising to another level and still going out and doing it, even though you know you're being cheated. And sometimes losing and sometimes winning, but every time winning because you didn't give up. Winners never quit and quitters never win. Ron Paul got a fraction of the support 3.5 years ago he's getting now. He is destroying the globalists. The Federal Reserve is running around like a chicken with its head cut off, sending the army out to spy on Ron Paul events, having the feds put out memos to police saying Ron Paul supporters are violent and dangerous. You know they're getting ready to stage terror attacks and blame it on real Americans. And you're like, well, oh my gosh, they're going to stage stuff and blame it on us. And we're going to expose them. We know their game plan, so we're out ahead of it. Let them. I'm sorry for those they're going to kill, but, you know, they're going to do what they're going to do. It's like Kurt Haskell, the lawyer that saw the feds get the underwear bomber on the plane. For a month and a half, the media said he was wrong, and it came out he was telling the truth. The government had to admit it. And I said to him, are you worried about getting killed? And he said, they can only kill me once. I'm committed. That's the end of it. Don't you get it? We're only fighting other men here. And see, they've got this arrogance where they sit up there and say, too bad Ron Paul can't win. Too bad it's Rick Perry or Mitt Romney. And Time Magazine and Newsweek put them on the cover and say the race is between them and try to frame the debate and control your mind. We're just going to ignore them and let them discredit themselves further. I mean, I've got articles here, and I didn't just believe the campaign spot breakdown of this. I actually went and watched this and confirmed it for myself and got the same numbers. Mitt Romney in the last debate was given 12.9 minutes, 12 minutes, 9 seconds. Perry, 11 minutes, 10 seconds. And by the way, in all the other debates, it's about the same. It's all scripted. There's a talking point no matter who puts it on. Fox, Google, NBC, New York, you know, it's all scripted. Romney, Perry, Huntsman, Santorum, Kane, Bachman, Gingrich, Ron Paul, Johnson. Total talk time. Amount of questions, same. And you go through all of these numbers, and it's roughly the same. It's always Ron Paul at the end. Or I want to get Johnson back on about this, by the way. I want to get Gary Johnson back on, former New Mexico governor. So this is about showing how they've rigged it. I mean, Ron Paul won the last debate on Fox. He won it in their IP address, only vote once system. He had right at just below double. In other polls, he's gotten more than double. What Mitt Romney got, and Fox News just pulled the poll. I mean, what does that say they think about you? And then said Mitt Romney won. And, you know, why did Herman Cain win? Herman Cain won because he spent 2 years in Florida. I heard him talk about it on Neil Boortz. the day of the debate. They were here, Neil Bortz, here locally at night. He spent 2 years there ahead of time getting to know personally all the main people that would be voting in a straw poll. And so he was seen as the native son, the guy that spent the most time. And it is a big state, and you notice Perry didn't win, and Mitt Romney didn't win. And that is a rebuking of what is seen as establishment candidates. When we come back, I'm going to play this Fox News clip. Fox News panel, Perry campaign near total collapse. And Mitt Romney is going to collapse just as soon as we continue to duplicate what we've done to Perry to him. They have the exact same record. And it's even better. Perry is now desperately attacking Romney with his government health care model. But we can then turn that back around on Perry. By the way, there's so many different angles to how they steal these straw polls. When the straw poll is open to the general public and has a low price, Ron Paul wins. I should add that the straw poll cost $175 bribe. This is from Lou Rockwell, from a participant in the Florida straw poll. And I looked this up last night and confirmed it. In order to vote in the thing, you had to pay a bribe of $175 to the War Party of Florida. I did it, but I feel like a sucker now because the money could have gone to Ron Paul campaign, but instead will be spent to fight Ron Paul. That's another thing. The Republican Party basically wants to use Herman Cain. That's why he's been put in there. Former Federal Reserve operative, big pro-torture, pro-war globalist, who, by the way, is going to give you a national sales tax on top of the income tax. I heard Neil Bortz Friday on the hot seat. I thought she was saying we were going to have a sales tax and no more income tax. Well, Herman Cain knows we need to phase one out with the other on top of it. I told you, I've known this for 15 years. The globalists all over the world bring in sales taxes this way. You'll end up with both. But I know it's what you want, so you're going to get it. You like to be hurt? You will. And so the Republican Party in Florida hates Ron Paul. They got the $175. The Republican insiders went and bought the tickets, and they put Herman Cain in there. Now, some of the people also were just Herman Cain supporters and went in there and voted for him. And Herman Cain's a likable guy. He's a good little corporate shyster. He'll take good care of you. And he also, you know, survived cancer, so he likes to play on those heartstrings all day. I want to go ahead and go to this video clip, though, because I told you Rick Perry was going to run, and I told you he could be destroyed. Why else would he go to a national TV host and grab him and say, I'm afraid of Ron Paul and Alex Jones because you know we know who you are? We're from Texas, buddy boy, and we have been sitting here watching you since you were land commissioner. And what makes it worse, Perry, is that I talked to another former politician and businessman who was friends with you and who you played golf with and lifted weights with for many years, who told me you used to actually be anti-New World Order and know all about this stuff. That makes you even worse. You used your knowledge of this information to go join it. That's sick. Just, you are just as bad as former Federal Reserve head Greenspan, who wrote books against the New World Order in the 60s and 70s. I mean, he co-authored one with Harry Brown, talking about getting rid of the private Federal Reserve. All right, let's go ahead and go to this quick clip. This is from Fox Sunday. Brett Hume talking about Rick Perry is one half step from total destruction. Here it is.
What Americans are looking for isn't the slickest candidate. They're looking for an authentic, principled leader.
GOP presidential frontrunner Rick Perry making the argument his less than stellar debate performance this week shouldn't take away from his candidacy. But the Florida straw poll Saturday showed it apparently did. In a big upset, businessman Herman Cain trounced the field with 37%. The Texas governor was a distant second with 15%, while Mitt Romney, who didn't campaign for the straw poll, came in third. And you can see the rest down the line as well. Britt, How do you read the straw poll? Was it a vote for Kane, a vote for Perry, or a statement, please let somebody else get in this race?
Well, you can read it any of those three ways, it seems to me. They're all, I mean, Perry really did throw up all over himself in the debate at a time when he needed to raise his game. And he not only, I mean, he did worse, it seems to me, than he had done in previous debates. Romney was strong, as he has been lately. He has clearly raised his game in reaction to the emergence of Perry. It's been good for Romney in a way that one might not have predicted. Michelle Bachmann seemed, she was dead last with some tiny fraction. Look, Herman Cain was there. He tried hard in this. He gave a Stemwinder speech. He's a marvelous stump speaker. It seems to me he gets a moment out of this, but I can't imagine that it's going to
All right, Brett Hume, total collapse. Watch the full video clip at InfoWars.com.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're going to go ahead and play this clip in its entirety. This is from Fox News Sunday. Perry campaign near total collapse. Now, what did I say yesterday? The rise and fall of Rick Perry. You see, it's such a hoax that we would have this anti-free market, pro-globalist, pro-forced inoculation, pro-open border individual up there. And when he starts actually defending his policies, it's over. But it's the same thing with Mitt Romney. So if they're number one and number two, and Ron Paul's number three, this shows that voters will not buy into Perry or Romney. We can destroy them. If you simply decide Ron Paul can win and realize he's in third place and that we must politically destroy these people, Ron Paul wins. Let's go ahead and go to the clip.
What Americans are looking for in the slickest candidate, they're looking for an authentic, principled leader.
GOP presidential frontrunner Rick Perry making the argument his less than stellar debate performance this week shouldn't take away from his candidacy. But the Florida straw poll Saturday showed it apparently did. In a big upset, businessman Herman Cain trounced the field with 37%. The Texas governor was a distant second with 15%, while Mitt Romney, who didn't campaign for the straw poll, came in third, and you can see the rest down the line. Well, Brett, how do you read the straw poll? Was it a vote for Cain, a vote for Perry, or a statement, please let somebody else get in this race?
Well, you can read it any of those three ways, it seems to me. They're all, I mean, Perry really did throw up all over himself in the debate at a time when he needed to raise his game, and he now, I mean, he did worse, it seems to me, than he had done in previous debates. Romney was strong, as he has been lately. He has clearly raised his game in reaction to the emergence of Perry. It's been good for Romney in a way that one might not have predicted. Michelle Bachmann seemed, she was dead last with some tiny fraction. Look, Herman Cain was there. He tried hard in this. He gave a Stemwinder speech. He's a marvelous stump speaker. It seems to me he gets a moment out of this, but I can't imagine that it's going to last very long. And Perry is about, you know, one half a step away from almost total collapse as a candidate. AB.
I think the delegates in Florida, this is a much more closed straw poll than the one in Ames. And these are discerning voters, very loyal Republicans. They've been paying attention to this process all along. I think it was a real slap towards Perry and Mitt Romney. And what you really got a sense when I spoke to Republicans on Friday, as many as I could after the debate, the sense was not only that Perry had given a dismal performance, but, and of course Romney had won, but that they don't like their choices at all. That in the end, they don't, just because Romney's been a good debater, they're not enthusiastic about him. And you still see, according to people who watch these numbers, about 50% of donors, you know, on the sidelines, and people, heavy hitters, not ready to commit to either of them.
Bill, you wrote a special editorial for the Weekly Standard after the Fox-Google debate, and let's put it up on the screen. It was fairly striking. Yikes! That was the one-word headline, and about Rick Perry, you wrote this. No frontrunner in a presidential field has ever, we imagine, had as weak a showing as Rick Perry. It was close to a disqualifying 2 hours for him. About the rest of the field, you wrote this. None of the
Now, what's happening is some of the neocons would rather have Mitt Romney than Rick Perry. So they're kind of seizing on this to knock him down. But the moral of the story is we have cyanide politically for both these men. And you need to go to InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com and get the articles that we've written, the articles that we've put together on this, the headline story that Kurt Nimmo and I did. In fact, I'm looking for it here about how Ron Paul is one half step from first place. Facebook, Twitter, everywhere. Get it out to everybody you know because it points out what's really happening.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I have been hogging the broadcast myself the last hour, perseverating on all of the attacks on Ron Paul. And I've got the writer and the director from the film American Dream that we sell in the online video bookstore. American Dream, animated 30-minute program, perfect to wake people up about the history of the banking cartel in a type of, kind of South Parkian, but better animation, modern, popular way. And they've got some big ideas coming up in the future, some very exciting projects. But I don't have these two guys here today to so much talk about the American Dream. Though later, I guess we could queue up the trailer or something and play it. It's been out for a year. It's excellent. And it's had a big effect. I've been watched millions of times for free online, a real mark of the fact that these guys really care about the message of liberty and defeating the collectivist Borg. But I wanted to have Harold Yule, the writer, and Tad Lumpkin, the director, in studio with us since they were already in town. I had Tad on the TV show in studio last Friday night, InfoWars Nightly News, to break down their philosophy, their view on the world. But today I want to go over some of that with you later in the interview. Right now, because I found you guys intelligent and articulate, I wanted to just get into some of the current things, the global financial crisis, where the world's going, what you think the population's going to do as more and more of what we talk about comes true, unfortunately, how far we've come, that Gardasil's incredibly unpopular now and a major issue, that the Federal Reserve is almost 90% unpopular, that Ron Paul's a major contender. What do you guys overall think of Ron Paul and all of the weird, dirty tricks we've seen and this exercise in mind control that he can't win? But then when we put the issues out of what Rick Perry and Mitt Romney really stand for, they start to implode. And so if number one and number two go down, where's number three? And this is real simple, like a NASCAR race. Car one and two start smoking. Well, number three is probably going to win if they can finish the race. What puts gas on the car? Our belief, our support, our donations. This is a fight of wills, a fight of understanding, a fight of moral authority. And we can't just let Al Gore and Mayor Bloomberg and the New World Order sit up there and lecture us and tell us what reality is in some authoritative bent. We have to break the hoax, see it for what is. And more and more I realize it's all just a giant hoax. The system knows it's a hoax. And it's time to wake up out of that trance, out of that hoax, as people begin to wake up out of the trance that I believe is now taking place. Well, what's your view on Ron Paul, the trance, and where do you see this going? Because I see the control freaks starting wars, staging terror attacks, you name it, to stay in power. I mean, we are entering the most exciting time in human history. Let's get Tad Lumpkin and then Harold Yule's take on this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're both huge fans of Ron Paul, and his last run significantly impacted kind of our personal calls to action and what we thought was going to be really important and an opportunity to go out and change the world. And you've seen his popularity grow tremendously over the last 4 years from kind of this marginalized, unknown Texas, congressman to now a huge national figure who has a huge movement amongst the youth in America because they see what he's saying is true. And what's great about these, about what Ron Paul's saying versus what all the rest of these guys in the establishment and all these pundits is, he's right. And that's the reason why everything is going just the way he says it's going to go is because all he's telling people is the truth. These guys are trying to prop up some establishment lie because they're all so invested in it that they just want to keep doubling down and doubling down and doubling down. You're seeing in Europe right now, they're like, they will do anything to just keep it going. Just don't let me deal with reality. And they sell people all this fear to keep the, you know, to keep the status quo in power and the status quo going. We'll come and take granny's money. We'll throw everybody out on the street. All this stuff's going to happen. Just stick your head in the sand and, you know, act like an ostrich like you've been doing. And it's like what we're trying to do is motivate people to say, hey, man, the truth may be hard and freedom may be scary sometimes and adventurous, but man, if you do not embrace it, something far, far worse is going to happen. And we all bind together and it's never what they tell you is going to happen is so much worse. It's like getting a shot. It's like the anticipation of it's much worse. And when you get it, it's like, okay, that's stung. Let's deal with it, get through it and get back to prosperity and freedom. So that's what we're really excited
about. I want
you
to continue along that line, but it really is true. The globalists have set up the Federal Reserve, this whole cartel that you so beautifully document in your film, American Dream, and it's designed to wreck the world. It's designed to consolidate. It's designed to collectivize so that no one can flourish or be individualistic. But in the final equation, getting what you want is actually sometimes the worst thing because it's destroying their own system. It was one thing for them to just greedily in their minds set up this plan, but now to see it actually coming to fruition is setting in motion something that is going to end up destroying them. And you see the system trying to prop this up, and it's a black hole. The more you feed it, the worse it gets.
Yeah, speaking of black hole, I didn't see the part of the beginning of the show. Did you get the Gallup poll that came out with the approval ratings and disapproval ratings? Did you see that?
All-time low for government.
But what you see is from the 80s through the 2000, it's a parallel line of satisfaction, dissatisfaction. Then it literally crosses and there's this big cross gap. And that's where the message is now trying to keep that together and bring it back down and where people...
Hold on 1 second. Guys, it's on Drudge and InfoWars. Pull the latest Gallup poll. I got it in the stack. The headline's like... record dissatisfaction with government. Please continue.
It's really a fascinating just picture graph of you see this gap open up. It spikes, obviously, at 9/11, and then it goes like this. And that void is what they're trying to fill and keep the information together. And we have a great opportunity in shows like this and others. And that's why you see Ron Paul having a massive effect this election cycle.
There it is.
Yeah, you see that big hole? That's the information hole right there. And they're pumping into that, trying to keep that together. And we're pumping our media into that. You're pumping yours into that. And we have a big opportunity here to motivate and single action, too. That's why, like, even talking on the street, people ask us a lot of times, well, you made a film. What can we do? Talk about it, you know.
People don't know the power of promoting, buying the DVD, giving it to people, promoting the websites on Facebook, Twitter. It spreads that way. That's why the CIA... working for the big banks is always trying to use social media for their system.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, going back to that point is that we have a real opportunity right now because what's happening is that the system tells you you will get result X. And when result X, we're going to spend $1 trillion on stimulus. And then result X is everybody's going back to work. Oh, well, wait, that didn't happen. Oh, well, our fault. We needed 2x X. Oh, no, we need 5x X. And the thing is, what's happening is that the truth and the lie are pulling further and further apart. That's right. And that's exactly what that poll is showing, is that it's not working. Because unfortunately, people respond to immediate pain. And what's happening is the immediate pain goes up, the dissatisfaction, they start to freak out. And what they need to do is quit looking for, oh, well, did it get a little bit better today? Just give me the credit card so I can go charge it up a little more because I don't want to deal with my, you know, personal financial situation.
No, no pain, no gain. We got to go through the pain to get our republic back. Exactly. Don't get mad at the government because it's not making it better. It can't make it better. In a hurricane, a tornado, anything. All it ever makes it is worse.
That's right. And if people would just have the courage. I mean, look, as much as we sit and we talk about all these leaders, who are leading us astray, the people have to take the responsibility for allowing it to occur because they've sat there and they've said, oh, wait, I can have something for nothing. Oh, I'll vote for something for nothing. I'll vote for something for nothing. I'll march for something for nothing. And it's like, guys, that's just a dishonest and lazy philosophy. And people need to wake up and aliven themselves.
Sure.
And be willing to go on that adventure
to not only fight back, but take control of their own life. Because if they're not willing to handle and take control of their own life, then how do we expect politicians or other people who are really just don't care about anybody except expanding their own power and expanding their own financial gain to do it for us? So it's like no one's going to care more than you care about yourself. And that is the total misnomer of collectivism. Like, oh, some government bureaucrat's going to care more about managing your health care for you than you're going to care about managing it for yourself.
Well, now they're admitting that government health care is about death care. And Michael Moore's like, well, it's patriotic to wait for that surgery. And so now it's the shared suffering. And people ask, well, then why are the ultra-rich for collectivism? Because they use it to steal the grassroots wealth, transfer it offshore. They're exempt. That's why Warren Buffett helps write the laws 15 years ago to exempt himself from taxes. Now he's lecturing, raise taxes on rich guys. But if you look at the plan he's promoting, it's on people making $125,000 a year or $250,000 collectively, husband and wife. That's not rich. They want what's left of the middle class's money paid in a banker bailout. It's so sick. But I want to go back to this. They know that we're waking up that we don't need them. That's why telescreens are going in at 9,000 locations saying don't trust your neighbor, only trust Big Sis. We know they're scared. The system is now we're going to grope you at the football game. We're going to take blood at checkpoints. The terrorists are going to hit. They're telling you, we're going to manage your life. We're going to treat you like children. We're going to take your rights away because we've got to stay in power. We've got to prop this system up. So that's why we're in such danger for authoritarianism right now. Your take on that?
Yeah, that's true. But that is, again, their message of control. And that's not necessarily the reality. And so when you put that information constantly out there with a talking point, you can keep the status quo for so long. And I think today what you've seen, and then maybe even the last 3 years, but especially in the last 6 months, you just see a lot of people, just the dissatisfaction is overwhelming. And the message is working and will continue to work if it's not tactically or strategically fought against from, I would say, our side or the other side.
Well, and ultimately it's a confidence scheme, but people are losing confidence in the scheme. And that's like the whole banking system. It works on confidence. I mean,
But here's the danger. They're going to try in the implosion to bring in a new confidence scheme. We've got to be there now saying, no, no, no. The same people that did this cannot be trusted to give you the new scheme.
That's absolutely right. We are either going to get a lot less free or a lot more free in the next decade. And that will be up to if people are going to stand up and do something and we mobilize the
freedom. Leave it there. We got to go to break. I want to come back and look at that because I agree with you totally. You guys really have got it. And then so we are at the crossroads right now. Normally, society is frozen. We're in a liquefied state. The globalists are trying to shape the clay the way they want. We got to get our hands in there and ignore their talking points and just go for liberty. You know, it's very sad to see all of these Obama supporters saying, how dare you not deliver us a good economy? How dare you not deliver us free houses and cars? And I see the headlines every day. Black journalist calls out Obama. It goes on and on and on where they're demanding that Obama make everything better, like he could wave a magic wand. That's called slavery. That's called begging to be a slave. You need to make things good for me. Now, once government's taken control, sure, then you complain and say, hey, you're making this worse. And, you know, then you're having to tell the government, hey, stop this policy or start that policy. But illustrating how we're at a crossroads, look at all these hundreds and hundreds of arrests now down at Wall Street. And I've seen the videos. We've had guests on that have been there. Some of them are libertarians and saying, Wall Street socialists getting the bailout money, get rid of it. Make them take a haircut, get rid of the Federal Reserve. I'd say that's about half of them. But the other half are just people angry at the bankers or they're communist saying Wall Street makes too much money. Give it to us. And so right there, you see that fight. But at least people now are recognizing the real power structure. But there's a fight in there over what needs to be done. But then you see the police arresting peaceful people. Another illustration of just how far this country slid.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, the whole thing is that the greatest lie are the things that are closest to the truth. And so what often happens is that people take and say, oh, well, the banks got bailed out and that's what we're upset about. And they have the exact same argument all the way till the end, which says, well, the banks have too much money. Let's take it from them. The theft should have been, we should have stolen the money, as opposed to, like, you should steal it and give it to us rather than
oh, well, the problem is we didn't have enough freedom. And have we had actual capitalism instead of this cronyistic, you know, gangster mafia type organization that runs a financial system, then it would have been fine. Banks would have made money. People would have had honest savings and everything. But it's all a mirage and a scheme. And the thing that's really disheartening is just hearing this two paradigm that's like, well, I just, you know, I'm a member of one crime family. So as long as we're stealing it for our members, then it's just. But when the other crime family comes in and steals it for their members, then somehow it's unjust, as opposed to, why are we stealing? Why are we signing off on stealing?
Well, that's like all the Republican leadership, right through the talk show host, all of them supported the bailout. And they'll try to deny they did it now, but then they get shown the video, and then they defend it. I mean, right there, they want to criticize welfare queens all day. Those welfare queens are the ticking time bomb of the bankers that they can hold us hostage with. Because if you don't go along with the bigger government, they'll just turn them loose if they don't get the welfare checks. And the 50 million people on the electronic soup kitchen lines with the food stamp cards, they will burn down the cities. So you've got the welfare people teamed up with the bankers.
Well, it's just tribal warfare. Really, when you come down to it, it's Dallas Cowboys versus the Steelers. And if you are a Steeler fan, you hate the Cowboys. And if you're a Cowboy fan, you hate the Steelers, or vice versa. And so you keep on this same line, and that's fine when you're playing sports or something like that. But we have identified that now in a political realm, I would say for decades, and that's been the traditional paradigm. And you see it in a religious sense, where you have a religious belief system that just stays. And until you have a significant, literally a paradigm shift, or what we've seen as a collapse.
You know, but we see this. And, oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
You see this. I mean, it so parallels what happened in the Roman Empire. And a lot of it comes from, you know, a moral breakdown of
Weimar Germany.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Every time there's a moral breakdown, the collapse follows, because even the elite stop caring about stability. They just get delusional.
That's right. And I mean, you got all these people going, literally, we will take to the streets if you don't keep paying us off. I mean, what kind of society has tens of millions of people that's their mantra? You know, we'll take to the streets if you quit giving us stuff that isn't ours. That right there is probably the single most concerning thing, because when it all goes down, and it all will, there will be a global financial reset at a minimum. That's going to happen. But the question is, well, when we're betting on freedom and we want a freer society, we need these people not to be out there trying to steal from one another, but actually like get on board and
crime has exploded.
Yeah.
And that's why America's different. This isn't going to go like Europe. We got guns. And I'm reading all the time about the bad guys breaking in houses or getting shot. And that's the good news around here. Some horde of people come down my street wanting to rob me because they didn't get their welfare check. I'm going to light them up.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the idea that one can defend themselves is paramount to freedom. And it's why, next to being able to, you know, the freedom of speech, the founding fathers knew that it was that the second most important thing to being able to speak your mind was being able to protect yourself. Because otherwise, I mean, you're just at the mercy of, okay, you know, big bad government, come protect me from the bad guys and tell me what's right.
It's, well, what happens is 51% get in and they vote to rob the other 49.
That's right. And it's psychological too, because when people are self-empowered, they take care of themselves. And when everything is handed over to the state, they just become sheep.
Well, let's talk about, let's take calls, 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231, and we'll talk about the riots that are coming. Okay, we're back live. The toll-free number to join us again is 800-259-9231. Renee, Thomas, Ben, Steve, James, and others. We're going to get to your calls coming up here in just a few minutes. That means 2 hours from now. I'm just joking. If you believe in what this radio show stands for and the information covered here, and you want to supercharge the tip of the spear, then become a PrisonPlanet.tv member. 15 cents a day, $5.95 a month, or get a year membership and get 3 months free. We also have it where, with the same username passcode, you can have six people logged in at one time with it. So you can share it with your friends, your family, your spouse. Probably share it with 20 people, and I doubt they'll all be logged in at once. But if you do give it to too many people and wonder why you can't log in sometimes, that's why. And obviously don't use a username or passcode that you have on anything important if you are sharing it. But again, please become a PrisonPlanet.tv member. Check out the new rant section, the special report section we've added, the nightly news 5 nights a week. A lot of energy is going into this, and it's already reaching hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people a week. It will soon be reaching millions and millions and millions a week, like the radio show, thanks to you supporting it. We're putting a lot of time and energy into it. That's why I want to thank all of you that have become PrisonPlanet.tv members. I will, of course, be on tonight with a lot of key news. InfoWars Nightly News, 7 o'clock Central. That's 5 o'clock Pacific, 6 o'clock Mountain, 8 o'clock Eastern. Continuing, I want to tell you about eFoodsDirect.com. Our friends over at eFoodsDirect.com are now offering free shipping to anywhere in the United States on all of their wonderful products for a limited time. They only do this every 8 or 9 months or so, so it's a really good deal to do it. It's only running for a few more weeks, I'm told. There's a lot of uncertainty out there right now with everything going on. My reason is economic implosion. It's very important to have your own food so you're not dependent on government. You know, even ants store their own food, and other animals do. Squirrels do. I think we should. eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or 800-409-5633. 800-409-5633. Continuing, purewaterfreedom.com, made in America, high quality line of whole house water filters, tabletop, under the sink, handheld water bottles, all high quality made right here in America, which is quite a feat under all the regulation and harassment people go through here. Purewaterfreedom.com, imagine being able to turn on your tap water and it's all safe, clean, without all that loving stuff the government orders water systems to add to it. Purewaterfreedom.com, check them out today. All right, gentlemen, I've been ranting and raving about a lot of issues. I should also have people should get American Dream, that is also available at InfoWars.com, the online video bookstore. But throwing all this out, riots. Bloomberg came out last week, or now 2 weeks ago, and said there's going to be riots if you don't get more welfare money. He needs, you know, more cops, more taxes, and everybody's fleeing New York. So he's put together commissions to raise taxes in other states, and he wants gun control in other states. And the New York cops have announced they, quote, have air assets now. I've got the quotes here, that they have air assets that can take out a hijacked jet. So now maybe it'll be nationwide. New York will take over the whole country. But they won't tell the media what those air assets are. Funny, the whole supposed Pentagon system couldn't stop what went on 9/11. But now New York... Now, don't arm the pilots, though. Just have cops with helicopters with missile launchers on them. And it turns out that is what the air assets are. But don't let the pilots who can you trust to fly the plane, the giant weapon, don't let them be armed. Instead, have cops. Well, what if you get a crazy cop with his missiles? And we've had that happen before. Again, it's this idea of we've got to have checkpoints everywhere because there could be a bomber at a shopping mall. There could be one at a school. And government must be everywhere to protect you. Clearly, this whole thing is a smokescreen to gear up a police state grid for the American people. What's your view on the coming riots?
Well, I think if you look at all the countries where something has been promised and there's something less to pay with, they all equal taking to the streets. I mean, Greece, their tip of the spear as far as the Western European nations and the Western world nations, where we're seeing this go down first. I'm not sure why throughout history, when over and over and over you've seen this exact same thing play out, that anyone thinks it's going to be any different in any nation when you've got a huge amount of people who feel entitled and to other people's things, and then there's no longer the ability to pay them anymore. How that's not going to somehow end up in the streets. And what the response to that is, and what I think, you know, people are deathly afraid of is, well, what exactly, how does that play out, especially in a nation that's got, you know, unlike Greece and unlike Europe and unlike pretty much any other nation in the world, there is still a very, very strong threat of people who believe in independence and liberty and in this nation and individualism. And that, I would hope, has a very different outcome than people who are really just trying to say, well, let's double down and reestablish the collective. And, it, you know, they want, they'll give up more rights as long as they keep just feed me. And, here I think the key for the United States is the last stand for liberty will be in America, because it's really the only place that's even got the mission statement and a significant population that says, you know, individual liberty and the right to control your own life and personal responsibility is the greatest sort of mission statement that's ever been created for a nation. So that is what makes us unique, and how exactly that plays out, I'm not sure. But
Mr. Yule, what's your take on that?
Yeah, you know, people say the Constitution is old or irrelevant in this type of thing, and it's the exact opposite.
It's treason, then.
It's the newest document in human history that gives people this type of liberty and freedom, and empire is what's old, and the collective idea in this oligarchy or this plutocracy, that's old.
Yeah, gang rule is old.
And it's as old as human history. And so what we have here in America is, some have called it a secret destiny, some have just called it whatever. But you've come here with a very new idea, and I think it was George Washington, if the Republic can last 20 years, then we have a chance. It was always the idea that it always had to be protected, and it wasn't something you could just let go without some vigilance, and that's where we're at. And, you know, we've seen that we have to protect this idea. We have to protect liberty. We have to fight for freedom and our rights as individuals and created by God. And that,
well, these globalist whores, they get up there with straight faces and act like it's weird
to
be under the Constitution and Bill of Rights and to wear a tri-cornered hat, and weird to say, leave my property alone.
Yeah.
Look at where we've gone. Property taxes didn't have that 50 years ago.
Right.
A private income tax paid to a private bank didn't have that, you know, 97 years ago. And look what we've become since then, and it's getting worse. But the good news is, as you said, people aren't buying it anymore. And so the system is scared, and they're going to pull out all the stops right now against us.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Because that's the only thing they can do is just keep. I mean, you see them every week, these politicians like Ben Bernanke comes out with, well, now I'm going to make a bolder statement. Everything's fine. And then it's like he thinks if he says it twice as loud and with sterner words that somehow people aren't buying it anymore, because it's meaningless. It's purely words. And I think that the rubber is without question meeting the road. I mean, it's like the IMF now needs a bailout. You know, Europe, I mean, they're talking about trillions and trillions of dollars. Where is that coming from?
What it is a tax to the looters, to the head mafia. They're always calling it a bailout. It's not a bailout because it's impossible to pay off the Ponzi scheme. It's always been impossible. They never spend the money to prop up the Ponzi scheme. They just take it right then as bonuses.
But now they admit it's impossible on the news this morning. It's impossible for Greece to pay back but what it owes. So what do we do? You know, and it's
well, they say Europe's got 6 weeks unless they transfer all power to a new private central bank.
It's always the threat of the deadline. We see so many things get passed. I mean, that's how the Federal Reserve Act got passed. These things get passed under this threat of time deadline.
We've got to have a Federal Reserve. So there's never another crisis.
Yeah. Well,
you get the Great Depression right after.
You got countries over there talking about we're giving up our national sovereignty. I mean, it's like Germany's now no longer going to be Germany. They're going to be subservient, not in just, oh, we're all in this voluntary EU with this kind of loose constitution. We can leave. No, we will hand the power of the state to now some super regional government, which is why when people talk about globalism, to keep control and order, which is what this is about, you got to get everyone in line. And to do that,
because people will run out of New York.
That's right.
And they can't have you run into Texas.
Well, that's right. And that's the reason why government in America, part of the progressive agenda that we've seen happen over the last 100 years, is that government has not only gotten bigger, but it shifted. And it shifted from localized government, where you had a lot more say and you could have a lot more differences and you could leave Austin and go to Dallas, to then state government where, oh, at least I can leave New York and I can come to Texas, to now it's a national government where now it's like, well, okay, now I got to leave the United States of America. I mean, that's what it's getting harder and harder and harder to find differentiation, because they frankly don't want 50 experiments. They don't want a republic. They want
No, they don't want diversity.
No.
Because these are not liberals. Thomas Jefferson's a liberal. These people are authoritarian Borg wearing smiley face mask while they rob and loot our society.
Yeah, well, they believe in control and they believe in order. And that's how they believe. I mean, it's just, It's a philosophical war that has literally been going on since the beginning of humanity.
But I mean, you really study these globalists, though. They are so cold-blooded. I mean, they hate the family. They openly say they do. They hate everything good. They love degradation. I mean, they get upset by people having a good time and being successful. They don't like people being individuals. They want to sit above us all and basically make us all like 1984, you know, wear these different little jumpsuits and all be arranged by them. They want to play God.
That just gets into a whole other level of understanding, really. I mean, you can work on a tactical level, which we do a lot when we talk daily topics and things like that, and then you can move it maybe to a strategy. But when you start getting into the actual war plan and the overall agenda of the annihilation of a human free will, you know, that gets into a different space. But I believe all that to be there.
Yeah, and they I mean, that's the reason why it's kind of like they don't. When you mention the family, is what I think what a lot of people see is that basically most of the world is one big family, where not family in the traditional sense. We're all in this family, and then there's the patriarchs that tell people that are like the smartest.
No. People talk about Bill Clinton being their daddy. The government's your daddy,
right?
And then there's Big Brother who helps out, and there's Big Sis. And that's our, and we ask the mommy to give us things. We ask the daddy to give us things. You know, that's it. That's why they say, I've got the textbooks. People didn't believe it. And I went and actually got them. That they have at UT that they give the social workers. And it's, the family is an old archaic disease, and we're going to eradicate it.
Well, and that's why they don't want, I mean, that's why school choice is so, you know, you've seen schooling centralized, because they don't frankly want people teaching different things. I mean, the whole idea is if they can keep telling huge amounts of the population, no, we're part of this global family. Here's the new model. They don't want diversity.
Yeah, but
they
it's getting ridiculous. I was watching some new carbon tax pushing thing for corporations, and it goes, everyone has adopted it. It is settled, and you will go to sustainability, which means they'll shut down your business and you know, move it to China. But it's all done with this, you know, like, you know, sweetie cake way with this good looking lady up there. But that's how they run this. They just say, it's settled. And if you listen to NPR, if you watch the news, they talk to you like you're a child.
Yes.
And they say, Ron Paul can't win, we said.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And that's how they...
It's a bunch of condescending jerks.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that's part of it, though, is that by making you not feel... It's tough for unempowered people who don't feel empowered to do a lot. So if they can... If people can... make you not feel confident about your decisions and make you feel like you don't know and you're ignorant, you sort of, they're trying to paralyze people. But what's happening is that the pain of the lie coming down is starting to motivate people.
But more than that, it's the humiliation of how the bureaucrats and the cops and the system was swaggering around. It's more than that. Yeah. People don't like it.
Yeah,
they don't like some secret police guy tattling on them or bossing them around. It's like, good, put me on a list. The Federal Reserve announced today, put everybody on a list that criticize it. Put me at the top like John Hancock, you mm-hmm. creatures. Mm-hmm. I mean, good, I'm not afraid anymore.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and these movements, you know, I repeatedly tell people it's like a dam. And I'm just like, don't be discouraged because the water isn't gradually picking up momentum. It's like when it comes down, it takes a few people to go way out in front and all alone and you know, preach this stuff and be marginalized. And what can happen, though, is you start to get this exponential return. And
we're here.
Starting that.
We're here. And that's why there's, yes. But first behind the scenes and now publicly, there's the new narrative. The Tea Party Ron Paul supporters are going to blow up federal buildings. Are you guys ready for that? Because we need to go ahead and talk about that, because they are going to stage events unless we talk about it. And even if we talk about it, they're probably going to stage events, because you can see, I can see as clear as day, the advertising campaign getting us ready for to be framed for terror attacks.
Well, again, I mean, that's why you're seeing them marginalized. They've done it as racist. They do it as, you know, oh, well, they're sexist. Oh, well, they want to force everybody to learn what they learn, believe in their same God. They're going to control you. They will do everything to try and marginalize and bifurcate and cut off and try and find the winning ideology that they think will separate the people who are preaching the message of freedom from the pack. And they will keep.
Well, look how they say the Tea Party. First, it's Ron Paul starts it. The Republicans try to co-opt it. That's one slice. Then they say it's only white, so other folks don't feel welcome.
Right.
And it's always like, well, you're black or you're Hispanic. You can't be for the Second Amendment or property rights. You can't be for family because these evil whiteys are for it.
Right. That's right. Well, and that's right. Oh, let's separate all the people who are. That's what they'll do. You see it right now. It's like Obama's even going out there talking to people.
No, he
like
says separate. He says I'm going to run now on race openly, and he's saying exactly.
Yeah, and when you see so many of the leaders of this movement sitting there saying, "Oh well, the black community." I mean, I don't. It's like, aren't these the people who preach kumbaya? Now, all of a sudden, when it's convenient, they'll just flip the script and they'll be like, oh, no, well, be afraid of Big White. You see, they're all over there in their meeting. So now we got to go fight for ours. And it's really this.
Yeah, no. Obama came out to the, a big black group this weekend and said, shut up, quit complaining. I'm going to protect you from Whitey. You're going to. Okay, let's talk about Whitey. The big mega bankers, the big criminals, a lot of them are white. They're the ones that put you in power to play this whole race game.
Well, that's what I was saying earlier about the tribal thing. Once the two teams get together against a different enemy, and once we identify that, I think that we can have a lot of...
That's what scares the globalists.
That's exactly right.
The minute I had this epiphany, and you have epiphanies every day, but it was common sense, but I was walking out of my car this morning, and it just came to me. I said, it's liberty. And I said, that's the message we've got to get out to everybody, that everybody deserves liberty, and that I want the whole world to be free. And even though they've trained these groups to attack me and hate me because of how I looked, I've got to just ignore that and move forward and talk to them like they're a human.
That's right, because we've got to, as a movement, rise. It's okay to be frustrated, and it's okay to be upset, and we should be angry, but it's like we've got to just stay on message and look at these people like they're caught in the matrix. They're say, you know what? Liberty is the greatest thing, and we are here to help you be free, and we will not waver from that message, regardless if you want to call us racist or not. We know in our heart we're not. We're here to spread liberty, and I think if we stay on that, they can't stop us. That's
all right. I want to hold you guys a little bit in the next hour. I want to go through some news, but your calls are straight ahead, I promise. I will go directly to everybody that's holding on the other side. First off will be Ben. Stay with us, InfoWars.com. Okay, I'm back live, panting. I'm on the other side of the building. I apologize to my guest. This doesn't happen a lot. We had an idea for me to do something on the show tonight because this came out last Friday. I didn't cover it. We're going to be covering it tonight. So the guys thought, kind of like when I made fun of folks who think the world's going to end from Common Elena. We used a clip from Thundar the Barbarian where the guy's head spins around. He's shooting the beams out. We're doing another one of those animations where I spontaneously combust, so we're going to air that tonight. It's pretty cheesy. I was kept trying to do it like where I catch on fire down here and then all of a sudden burst into flame. Did you guys see this BBC article, first Irish case of death by spontaneous combustion? The government has confirmed, and their coroner's confirmed, that Michael Faraday, 76, died at his home, completely caught on fire and exploded. These have been confirmed in front of witnesses throughout history. You know, people just catch on fire and just like in a movie.
Yeah, I've heard of it before, but randomly, I didn't know another guy. They had a confirmed case this week. What was that, last week?
Yeah, maybe the Predator was there and like shot him.
Exactly.
There's invisible Captain Spock with a phaser. Captain Spock now.
Well, be careful because they're going to say that's what happened to Building 7 soon. So
just... Oh, by the way, they've come out now saying it's all discredited. Some type of metal combined with the sprinkler systems, and there were explosions in the towers now. But what about 7, though? No, really wild. So now there were explosions.
I did not hear that.
It's unbelievable how the government proves itself to be incompetent and corrupt over and over and over again. And it's proven so after the fact. And yet people just, we'll believe them the next time. I mean, do they not look
at history? Well, it sets a precedent that this is the group that lies to us.
Yeah.
And so people feel powerless, so they just give in. I'm going to shut up now and go to calls. Sorry, folks. Ben in Kansas, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to talk about the police state here starting up in Wichita, and we got patrol rifles now. So, you know, all the police officers have their own AR-15 in the cars. And, you know, of course, the government paid for them with stimulus funds or whatever.
Well, that's fine as long as they don't want our guns. You know, that's the issue.
Right.
Yeah. Is more guns, less crime, and, you know, cops do run into people that have more firepower than them. As long as the cops don't want my guns... But what about New York saying they've got helicopters with missiles to shoot down errant jet aircraft?
Yeah, I mean, we've got helicopters here now, you know, so it's just, I mean, I can tell you, it's the police state.
Well, that is what the militarization of police ends in, is it's a foggy enemy, and now terrorism is every activity that doesn't include licking boots, and so every police force can now turn into an armed group to, quote, fight the shadowy enemy.
Yeah, you read 1984, and it's unbelievable.
Winston figures out that the government is just bombing itself.
Yeah, it's unreal how this stuff just plays out. By the way, it's played out this way over and over and over. It's like the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome.
If you study history, this happened in the last century. This government's building towards some type of big mega death event where it kills tens of millions of people. Anything else there, Ben?
They're spraying us with chemtrails. They're poisoning.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, we're taking your calls and going over news. They now are claiming the towers did spontaneously combust. And so did this guy in England. They say police typically find burned corpses, but no burned furniture. The inquest by the coroner has found the 76-year-old man did spontaneously combust. And now the feds are saying the towers spontaneously combusted. You know, they're now teaching in firefighting school. Before, they didn't teach this, that a lighter will burn down a skyscraper. Of course, it never happened before, and never only on those days, but they've changed the laws of physics.
Yes.
They do that a lot. They do that with nuclear. They do that with heat temp on beams. They just kind of move the bar and just say that's the new normal.
They're saying, we're getting thousands of times higher the size of it. We'll just raise it 100,000 times. It's safe.
Well, they do that with pretty much everything in school, unfortunately. That's why they reteach American history. They reteach most things of fact to convert it to the narrative.
Let's go ahead and take another call, and I'll continue with this. Explosions caused by jet fuel and water sprinklers brought down Twin Towers, 9/11 scientists say. So now they're saying those explosions later, it's been proven as the towers, you know, 45 minutes later, whatever, falling. That those are first, they weren't explosions. Now, the jet fuel somehow got kept and then blew up. Even though you can't hardly get jet fuel to light on fire unless it's been aerosolized, like in the initial impact. Yep. And of course, the firefighters reported the fires were basically out. But again, the government says Easter bunnies did it, so it must be true. Let's go ahead and get you guys into trouble now. Let's go ahead and talk to Thomas in California. Go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Jones. How you doing?
I'm completely out of control. Go ahead.
Well, you guys have a great show here today. Basically, what I was thinking about was how to get the media back on our side since they've stolen our First Amendment. And
the corporate whore media? That's bought and paid for, people that are thinking about what they're going to be doing that night, you know, or at the golf course or whatever. They're reading off a teleprompter, and teleprompters are bad because it allows the system to centralize talking points and then distribute them down.
Isn't there a way to at least sue them, or at least try and grab it back?
You know, I think the best thing to do is when Fox and NBC and CNN get caught, they've all been caught, removing polls when Ron Paul wins and then giving it to someone else. Point that out to people. You know, I mean, they're losing their viewers. They're dying right now.
Yeah, let me tell you, that's why the internet is such a pivotal thing. You can reach 6 billion people from your living room. That is unreal. The whole idea that you have to be, you know, CNN now to have a voice is just not true.
No, more and more, it is a true level playing field. And that's why they're coming in with taxes and regulations.
Absolutely.
And openly saying they got to shut down the web.
Well, they got to control it. Because just like they could control the airways, now they want to control the webways. And, that the best thing we can do is to get on there, blog, listen to people, support Alex Jones, support people.
That's right, folks. This information is vital, and it's scaring the system. The Federal Reserve is panicking, so they want to counter the bloggers now. They're going to try to run false flags against the web. The Pentagon has said that, to then start shutting it down in the name of saving it. Use it now while we've got it so that the genie is completely out of the bottle. I'd say the genie's about 80% out of the bottle right now. We need that whole thing to come out. Whole genie needs to get out of there, and then let them try to put a cap on it.
Well, absolutely. And I mean, the way things are rolling out is, in the very near future, cable television period is most likely going to be delivered through your internet line.
Yeah, where's Al Gore going? Where's his conservative compatriot, his variant, his doppelganger, Glenn Beck to the internet? They know, but that's why they're going to try to restrict us and then only leave those. Call or make a point, and then I'll let you go. Go ahead.
Basically, I'm just hoping that people find their potential and start rising up. It's our time, and we just have to do something. So that's where I'm at.
I totally hear you and respect that. What I'm saying is you're looking for some magic bullet, and I understand that. Like, we got to do something. We are doing something.
Yep.
I mean, the Federal Reserve is freaking out. Upwards of 90% now want to abolish it. No one knew what it was 10 years ago.
That's right.
They're talking about world government openly now. They can't hide it anymore. They're uncloaked.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We're going to go to your phone calls, but Harold Yule was bringing up the city-states, the exempt city-states that say they're sovereign. And regardless of what your view, they do. The District of Criminals, D.C., at least in the last 100 years or so, has operated as a private corporation, admiralty law exempt above the law. You've got the Vatican exempt above the law. You've got the City of London within London, the financial system. Israel has basically been set up to be a operational hub. And to be a city-state that says it's exempt from the UN. The UN has been set up as kind of this global arbiter or an attempt to get countries to sign on to waive their rights to it, or as a conduit for IMF and World Bank for the City of London to come in and buy them off. So really, it's just a bunch of exempt piratical organizations running around doing whatever they want. I mean, a lot of people serve one of those groups or the other, or don't serve it. I'm saying I want to be an individual. I don't want these big foreign offshore exempt cities in the sky to be, down here, telling me what to do. I mean, I'm saying I don't answer to you. I'm not your slave.
Yeah, the answer is not to take over these institutions. The answer is to liberate ourselves from them and get rid of them, or just get them to leave us alone and let us go live our own life.
Yes, and you were asking me how do we counter this, and I think, instead of always looking at the puppets these systems buy and then fight with each other and the treaties they have and the deals they have, but these groups are fighting with each other always, and the whole Masonic philosophy over the whole thing at the same time, which is just ancient mystery religion, ancient government system, gang mentality, inner knowledge, upper party, inner party, outer party, proletariat. I mean, it's all the pyramid. You destroy the pyramid and you say all the knowledge, release it all. Freedom now for everybody, no more games, and you basically expose the secrets, you expose the magician's tricks.
Yeah, I think that couldn't be more right on.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's kind of like we have
Talk right in that mic. I'm sorry, it's directional. Go ahead.
We know we've always had divine right or the idea of monarchs or kings or pharaoh rule. And like I said, in America, we didn't set it up that way. But that is as old. And the empire idea, this like national city states, I mean, those aren't new ideas. And they've just been interjected into this, the new idea of America. And it comes over here. And yeah, we do have D.C. We do have inner city London. We do have the idea of these overlord that can't be a part of us. You're not. And you're separate.
You're a subject.
Essentially, yes. And so, yeah, it is exposing that, but it's also understanding that it is a tactic. Like going back to your idea of the whole false flag, that's happened throughout history and not just our current empire but or America. But, you know, when Gulf of Tonkin occurred, no one really even understood that. It was a tactic that was relatively brand new in the public opinion. And then 9/11, you saw the spike at 9/11 on that Gallup poll. Everything went up. Everything spiked right to the top because out of order, out of the crisis, you can create an order that at some point you'll rally, but it didn't rally long. It wasn't like that it was even a couple of years. So I think exposing the idea that the tactic of false flag even exists is a win for us.
No, I agree. Every time they've got to counter us, we win. Just responding to us, we're winning.
Yeah, the fact that what's amazing is for the first time, I mean, you watch these GOP debates. I have never heard, 4 years ago was the first time I heard anybody, at least in my lifetime, ever talk about the Federal Reserve. And that's, you know, Ron Paul, who they were like, okay, we'll give him his token 2 minutes because he's got a couple followers. Now, all of a sudden, you've got all of the establishment candidates. They all, like, they have to address it regardless of if they have any intention of doing anything about it whatsoever. They're being forced to address it. And that in and of itself shows a huge
First they ignore you, then they attack you, then you win.
Well, I just say even like I've told Harold, I go, you know, Rick Perry, the fact that he got popular on a tactic, it doesn't even matter that it's not that he believes it.
The fact that he had to act like Ron Paul to become the number one candidate
shows we're
winning.
Exactly, because he's running on Ron Paul's message, but just saying, well, I'm the better package.
But when it became evident that he was the opposite of what he was saying, that made it even worse for him, and now he's on fire plunging to earth.
That's absolutely right.
And now we can do that. We can watch Mitt Romney spontaneously combust because if we just put out his record, it's over. Yeah.
Well, that's why they keep saying, you know, oh, the Tea Party. Oh, everybody hates the Tea Party. And they, you know, after the congressional standoff, they just try and marginalize it. Oh, Ron Paul's message is this message keeps winning.
And what's sick is you get all these local talk show hosts who aren't getting talking points. They think they're smart just repeating it. And every caller's calling in getting mad. And you hear the host just like floundering now because it's I love it.
It's the idea of the new language, you know, and you've been stuck in a jargon system with the paradigm. You have to use certain words. And saying things like false flag is a scary thing to even say for some people because it's just new vocabulary that's been interjected into the media stream that is.
Exactly. It's not just. Yeah, I'm just not going to believe what I'm told immediately.
Well, that's why.
Okay, in 5 minutes they told us Bin Laden did it. Okay, now I'm going to go look at the facts and see if that adds up. No, it doesn't.
Well, that's why. I mean, the fact that the leading candidate had, you know, called, got ripped for calling Social Security a Ponzi scheme by the media, but it clearly fits every metric of a Ponzi scheme. That's why I don't understand why people want to say, well, what I believe means that it's true.
Well, that's like the EPA.
Regardless of whatever you believe it is or not. So you can either embrace it and we can get to doing something.
Well, yeah.
Or people can stick their head in the ground.
But that's like the EPA just saying, okay, this isotope, we'll say you can have 1,000 times higher, it's safe, from Fukushima.
Right.
And this one, 25,000. This one, 100,000. I mean, right there shows this delusional Orwellian thing where they could just say gravity doesn't exist tomorrow.
But hay's a pollutant.
Oh, yeah, now we've got to tax the farmers because their hay is a pollutant.
That's right. That's right. No, it's completed. It's the same thing with the FDA. It's like, okay, the FDA says it's okay, so that means they're bulletproof.
Yeah, now they can radiate. We always think of government's going to protect us. Right. No, they're saying they can radiate. They're saying we can have GMO. Well, that's the incredible thing. When you go study the actual environmental movement, not the well-meaning folks on the ground who don't want to drink poison or whatever, It's always cold-blooded eugenics groups who want to divert you from all the real environmental issues that are going on, and they control the whole debate and make it about carbon dioxide.
Well, I mean, the a lot of the not all environmentalists. I mean, I'm very much for clean air and clean water. I think most people are, but
really, it's a power grab.
But when you get up into some deep theology that goes into this thing, I mean, they start talking about this whole global taxing scheme. It's like there's people who are trying to corruptly hijack the system and make a whole ton of money and control the resources. But on the other side, no one talks about the impact on humanity. It's like if you go ahead and you cut off all the oil and make it $5 or $6 a barrel, these people go over and they're like, well, let's go ahead and inoculate. You know, they cry about the children dying in Africa because we can't give them a 50-cent inoculation. But, oh, by the way, I want you to all get sick and die because you burn cow dung to stay warm and not have less expensive oil because, well, we may be impacting the planet to get warmer. I'm just saying there's a cost to doing something and there's a cost to doing nothing.
And yeah, but the idea that carbon dioxide is the big pollutant, they just chose that as a way to tax everything.
Well, that's
it's cold-blooded
right
from the beginning. They know full well is, you know, the point I'm trying. I mean, I bought the Avatar box set. Okay, I bought it yesterday and I was reading through it this morning and you open it up and they're advertising The Activist Guide to Avatar. It's a book. So I went and looked at it online, and it's this fantasy world where you're attacking industry on Earth, fighting for the blue aliens back on Earth, and it just shows how the whole thing is about this false template of they know there's a revolution coming, so they want to make it about tattling on your neighbor for not having energy efficient windows instead of like worrying about all the serious issues that are going on. Let's jam a call in here. I've just got to do it, or they're going to kill me. Steve in Florida, you're on the air. Welcome.
Yeah, good afternoon, Alex. Hey, I wanted to let you know, first of all, I don't know about the twin towers of the spontaneous combustion, but I can tell you something. In the political realm, there are twin towers that are experiencing spontaneous combusted, and that's Mitt Romney and Rick Perry, thanks to the coverage you've given that this morning. And so I appreciate that. But I wanted to tell you that about a month ago, I actually got to meet with a congressman from here in Florida named Bill Posey, and I was very encouraged by the meeting I had with him. I gave him a copy of your Terror Storm, and I specifically had told the staffer that I wanted to talk to him about the war on terror since 9/11 was coming up with the anniversary, and I asked him what his views were on that. Now, he's basically towing the party line, believing about Al-Qaeda and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I brought up several points about, you know, that Osama bin Laden wasn't listed as one of the, you know, that was not listed as one of his crimes on the FBI's website, and about the 6 of the 10 commissioners on the 9/11 commission wanting a new investigation because it was fraudulent. And his eyes just bugged out when I said this stuff. And I also mentioned GMO food, so he took notes. And I was very encouraged that I was able to meet with him. And he actually was one of the first co-sponsors with Ron Paul of his audit the Fed bill. And he said he meets with him for lunch once a week on Thursday. So, you know, and I encouraged him, please, that's the only candidate that we should support. If anybody else is supported, we're going to see 4 more years of the Obama nation. So I was very encouraged. The fact that I got 15 minutes with this man and he was open to hear what I had to say.
Well, that's another thing. I mean, go to city council meetings. Go to meet with your congressperson. Get involved. Don't just sit there and go, thank you, Alex, for being there. You know, thank you, Tad, for making the American dream, by the way, available at Infowars.com. It's about getting involved, getting our message out. Like you were saying earlier, out there on the street, every person you talk to shatters the illusion that the mainstream corporate media puts out that we're alone. We're actually the majority. I appreciate your call. Do one more segment with us, a few more calls straight ahead. I'll continue with calls throughout the hour, even after our guests have left us. But the DVD is The American Dream, Fighting the Lying Liars, One Stupid Lie at a Time, available at Infowars.com. Support the filmmakers, support...
Yeah.
continue with your phone calls throughout the hour after our guest leave us here in a moment, the makers of American Dream. And I've got a lot of news, obviously, we haven't gotten to that I'll be mentioning and going over as well. But we're joined by Harold Yule and Tad Lumpkin, the makers of American Dream. I want to go to Tim in Germany and Martha in Iowa, Tim, Keith, Chris, and others. But any other points you guys would like to briefly add before we go to this call?
No, I mean, I think the most important thing, picking up what you finished right before the break with, is that people have started to got to get strategic about spreading this message to people. I mean, the reason we made this film, and there's other good pieces out there on different issues, but the reason we made this film short and entertaining and simple and easy to understand was, we're like, guys, here's your tool. Get 10 copies. Give them to 10 of your friends who are not currently on board. Maybe they're just frustrated and they don't understand what's going on, and they voted for Bush and he let them down, and they voted for Obama and he let them down. And it's like, watch the film and see if just one of those people gets on board, and then challenge them to go show 10 people. Like, that's how this stuff happens. And that's what we need to start doing, is finding things. We can't hand them a 400-page tome on Austrian economics and, you know, the things of liberty, but we need to find like a 10-minute piece on Ron Paul, that Ron Paul lays out his
We need the 21st century version of the pamphleteers.
That's right.
Just broadsheets that had basic facts.
That's right.
I mean, the power of you. You are the power. You are the solution. Again, I've covered it in the first hour. I'll cover it more later coming up. The globalists are panicking right now. The Federal Reserve admits that their image is trashed, and now they're going to try to intimidate people and keep lists of people and then contact media to try to, you know, influence them. It isn't going to work, okay? They have been arrogant. They've just now realized we've already blown gaping holes in them. They're going to crawl off and die. The question is, are they going to drag our civilization down with them?
That's right. Well, I mean, people are starting to look for answers, and the people who have the answer of liberty need to give those other people the answer. They can't sit around with their other friends at a coffee shop and just complain all day.
All of you've got 50 caliber weapons. Yeah. You know, I mean, we've got a pretty powerful weapon system here, Death Star level, if you want to give a Star Wars analogy. The Drudge Report's like 5 Death Stars when they, you know, covers real news. But the point is, all of you, even the smallest person that doesn't know many people, by smallest, I mean smallest circle of people, you're like a 50 caliber machine gun at point blank range of the New World Order.
That's right.
To start blasting them in the info war.
That's right. That's exactly what's got to happen. And people have to think strategically and go to those that are still wandering around the wilderness. Like, we have to go to them. It's not their job to come to us. We need to go to them. And that's the.
Yeah, but anything that's on TV, county commissioners, schools board, Access TV, city council, state legislature, and don't think you're just going to beat them the first time. It's hammering them.
Yes.
Hammer, hammer, hammer. Let's jam in a call, then I'll come back with more. Martha in Iowa, then I'll come back and go to the Deutsche call and all the others. Go ahead, Martha. You're on the air. Or Martina, excuse me. I can't read.
That's fine. I'm just calling. I read an article, and I'm not for sure if it's real. It says the Obama administration is set to ban asthma inhalers over environmental concerns.
No, that's true, and I meant to cover that Sunday. That was in my stack yesterday. So what happens is I read all this news, then I blow up and never even cover any of it. It's just like, yes, they're saying the gas in it is bad for the earth, so they're going to ban that type of asthma inhaler, and it's going to increase the price a lot. But it's all about, we control the toilet. We control the light bulb. We control the dishwasher. We're going to shut down the power plants unless we own them because they have carbon dioxide coming out. Nothing comes out of these new clean ones but that. Water vapor and that, so they're going to do that. But then General Electric gets a waiver. Yes, ma'am, it's true. Europe has banned space heaters.
Counter ones. So Obama, if this doesn't prove that he's working for the pharmaceutical companies, I don't know what does.
Yeah, they banned him. They banned him over the counter. You got to get him by. Guys, will you pull that up? Obama, I think it was like the Hill newspaper. Obama set to ban inhalers. Yeah, that's true.
This says Fox Station.
No, it's real. I read the environmental regulations yesterday. It's real. But again, it's all about they say, government says.
Yes.
And then the big corporations that lobby government, they're exempt.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's all part of, Obama works for the hijacked state. That's who he works for. It's like, oh, he's owned by the pharmaceutical. It's the whole idea that we're going to control the people, and that every problem is filled with government. That's the mistake. It's like, oh, there's a problem. Let's fill it with government. Like they're these angels that come down with smarter superpowers.
No, all they are is people that take more of your liberty, more of your money,
that's right,
more control over you. And then there's a huge arms buildup of spying and weapons against us. They're marching around training to take over, admitting it. They're like, we're friendly. More tax money. Build the army up. They're waking up to us. Gentlemen, great job with the film. Look forward to talking to you again in the near future.
Absolutely. Thanks, thank you.
We'll be right back with your call. Oh, crank that up for a minute.
Girl, your memory.
Why don't I just quit? Move out in the country somewhere.
I
guess I already live in the country. Just sit around listening to George Strait.
I got some oceanfront property in Arizona.
The problem is they're not going to let me do that. They're not going to leave me alone. And they're not going to leave you alone. And that's why I tend to get so angry all the time, is that I'm never ceases to amaze me how ruthless and criminal the control freaks are. The worst elements of society, and we've grown a giant government and handed it over to the private corporations that are the opposite of free market and want to shut down our free society. You know, when I was driving up to Arkansas and back, I saw signs that were anti-New World Order. I saw an Infowars.com bumper sticker. I saw a no to animal ID, premises ID sign in somebody's yard. I saw a lot of people waking up and ran into people at gas stations, you name it, that were listeners. And that's only an indicator of how many people are awake. Guys, I forgot to tell you during the break, saying bye to those guys. Will you pull me out of yesterday's stack? Because that is something I need to mention or put it on screen. Obama administration set to ban inhalers over greenhouse gas. I want to show that, because I understand that sounds crazy, and I understand I don't want to just have a caller that said she saw it on Fox, and then, you know, she's asking me if it's real. Yes, it's real. Like a woman, I heard a woman on the radio yesterday locally going, is it true Ron Paul's in third place? He says he is, and I don't think he's a liar. And the host is basically like, no. Well, yeah, really? I showed Rasmussen and Gallup. He's at least in third. Yeah, there it is. The Atlantic is reporting international ban on CFCs claims cheap over-the-counter inhalers. That means claims, means gets rid of them. Go to another one, though. That's the Atlantic spinning it. They love it. But yeah, no, there it is admitted. I saw a Hill newspaper one that actually had the text pretty close in there. That's the one that was in yesterday's stack, as if you guys can keep track of all the piles of paperwork I leave behind me like some kind of demonic gerbil. You know, gerbils, and I was living like not even so much wood shavings, but paper shavings or whatever it is. I mean, look, folks, if you don't know government, yeah, there's the London Guardian. Obama administration set to ban asthma inhalers over environmental concerns. Now, that's actually Fox Nation. Sorry, it looks, that font is the exact same font and header of London Guardian, which I think is the most pleasing font and look. I think I'm going to have my websites changed over to that headline style right now. That's a problem. I have hundreds of innovation ideas that I can't implement all of them. I'm trying to hire people. I'm trying to train them. Then I'm trying to get the capital to be able to do that. And that's why your support of Infowars.com is absolutely essential. I had my big brainstorm this morning after jogging. Yeah, I'm up to jogging 3 miles, ladies and gentlemen. I know that's pathetic for most of you, but for me, that is far. I haven't been able to jog 3 miles in more than 10 years. I used to jog 6 miles almost every day and lift weights about 2 hours a day. And then when I was about 25, I quit everything, all exercise, quit everything until I was about 34 and turned into the slovenly creature I am now today. But I certainly had a big brainstorm this morning. I even recorded the simple points I wanted to make. But you know what? Let's just go to your calls, and then I'll kind of reassess and go through some of these news items. Let's talk to Tim in Germany, then Keith in North Carolina. Tim, you're on the air. Welcome.
Howdy, Alex. Thanks for taking my call. What you spoke with your guests a little bit earlier really resonates and showing true in Germany as well. What you discussed was that they are feeling the heat. We are all turning on them. That they start to losing their heads and that they start to get irrational and try to do things in a hurry. Because what happened last night is that Chancellor Merkel on German state television, the primary channel would be like BBC in the UK, started saying in a primetime talk show to which she invited herself only that afternoon, that was widely reported in the press as well, she started saying that there needs to be a mechanism for the EU to govern against the will of non-compliant states and parliaments, basically saying there needs to be an end to or a partial end to sovereignty of these nations. So Merkel really went open last night. I mean, we all know that this is what they want.
Well, I want to stop you. That's why I must have a lot of calls from Germans and from Germany, because I see calls from Germany. I see, you know, you're German in North Carolina. That's what I'm saying here. This is earth-shaking. There should be scientists and doctors and playwrights and the most well-spoken people in the world should be out here fighting it, not some redneck from Texas. This is so huge. And before they set this up, they said, you're kooks if you talk about global government. You're kooks if you say the euro is authoritarian. When Herman Von Rompuy said 2 years ago, we are going to set up world government the next 2 years, they engineer the implosion. I told people 10 years ago they would do this in the U.S. and in Europe. They're now merging it. They admit, listen, I told you 2 weeks ago, I heard Bloomberg and CNBC, because I can listen to both on XM, you know, TV on radio. Both of them say the problem is democracy, which we know, again, is another bastardization. It's really a republic. The problem is individual rights enshrined in a nation's sovereignty with the people as sovereigns. But they said on CNBC in the same day, while I was listening driving, and on Bloomberg Financial, the problem is the Germans all want to keep sovereignty, so will the French. So we've got to get rid of their sovereignty. We got to get rid of freedom. And they're openly saying, you want your pensions? You want your future? Give all your power to the EU bureaucracy to punish countries that don't follow orders. This is dictatorship, a financial dictatorship. And yes, guys, in fact, put it on screen. I covered it last night briefly. Merkel, it was quoting her on the show. Merkel, headline, Europe has 6 weeks to live, and they're going to hold everything you've got hostage. They're going to plunge your markets if you don't do what they want until you give them dictatorship. Instead of conquering you like Napoleon or Hitler or others did with military force, or the British have done, they are conquering through financial fraud. This has been their move. The world government is here. It is earth-shaking, and I can't get the average jackass yuppie. There it is, Daily Mail. 6 weeks to save the euro. Chancellor's warning after another day of financial turmoil. They are implementing all this stuff. So sorry, Keith. It sounds like you're German. Give us your view on this.
Yes, from Germany, not Keith. The problem is, as you said, this is a global thing, and what is really regretful to me as a German is to see, as you stated, that many Americans would have the options. You guys got one of the most, one of the strongest insurance policies against the government going rogue against the citizens. You guys you have the right to be armed. And in Germany, you have restrictions. They use any gun incident that happens, even though some of them looked very strange and had false flag characteristics with them. They use any of these things to demonize gun users, and all of that. And you guys in the United States have that. You guys could really be the ones saving German people from dictatorship again, because if you stop that stuff in the United States, it would really help the world as well, because it would be a strong symbol to these globalists and dictators that want to be these madmen that think they can govern you better than anything else. They think...
Well, let's be clear. They don't think they can govern us better. They are eugenicists who have created a cosmology of their greed and their hatred for individuals. They love sorrow. They love pain. And I've heard people spin it that Germany, because it's the only country not completely bankrupt, is somehow taking over. It's not Germany taking over. It's Germany being sucked dry to fund the private European/US-based British banks that are using the euro as a receivership arm. Take Ireland. The big success story, 10% growth rates a year for a decade, low taxes. They signed the euro last year and overnight are bankrupted. And again, signed on to debt that they didn't owe. God bless you. I appreciate your call. By the way, when Jaron found that headline and then corrected me, it's what George Osborne, one of the central bank guys, said 6 weeks. I was crossing that with Merkel. Merkel said Europe will fail, as if Europe is the EU. See, no, it's not a bunch of bankers. See how they do that? Europe is now bankers. Europe will fail soon if they don't do this. A very similar talking point. They found a slightly different headline about the 6 weeks thing. The point is that, yes, she's running around doing this, just like they said 3.5 years ago, give us trillions of dollars or there'll be martial law. And then notice they said, give us hundreds of billions more for Greece or there'll be martial law. And then another bailout, another bailout, another bailout. This is all designed because the general public has no basic adult understanding of basic geopolitical systems, finances, anything. It's very elementary. We have a group of finance oligarchs that are anti-free market, anti-family. I mean, go read Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, and others. Go read the big French banks, all of them. All of their heads, every one of their heads, openly goes to big eugenics conferences and Nature Conservancy garbage, and they fund the carbon taxes, the anti-family, green police, all of it. Look, it's very elementary. They create a guilt-ridden system where they teach you that you're bad and progress is bad and you having any type of wealth is bad, so you're all guilty and will live like a slave. Now, for the West, it means poverty. For the third world, it's a death sentence. And then they go, well, you know, some trendies go, well, we got to go ahead and kill the third world. It's hurting the earth. You know, it's Avatar, whatever. Don't you understand they blocked the third world from industrializing and actually having less people? So even in their own argument, they cold-bloodedly did this to these people. Of course, there's areas where there's squalor and people are poor and overpopulated. But it's because they've been forced off the land into compact cities. I mean, Watson's article last night, the New York Times defending a World Bank corporation that sends in troops to just burn down neighborhoods and rural communities and shoot people to put trees on their farmland to lower the carbon footprint. It's nothing but cold-blooded genocide, but because you're looking for Hitler or Stalin or Mao or Pol Pot, you're looking for the last killer, the last scam, the last deal. You don't recognize this one. Because it isn't about personalities. That's why the Greenies have told Al Gore to step down, because he's been discredited. They said, we need a new spokesman, Al. Sit down and shut up. Hundreds of publications last week said, Al Gore, go away. You are hurting us. Why did Monsanto change their name a few years ago and then change it back? Because they'd gotten such a bad name. Why did DynCorp change its name for a while? Why has Halliburton done that and moved offshore? Why has or created new subsidiaries? Why did Blackwater change its name? I mean, it's real simple. It's all about labeling, but it's the same group. There are less than 200 globalists that sit on the Bilderberg Trilateral Commission, CFR, head seats, who all sit on the Fortune 100. And all they do is fly around from city to city, from resort to resort, meeting and coming up with plans and having professors come in and white papers they financed and Google giant tracking crystal ball systems that predict the future for them to a certain extent to try to gauge all of this. But all of their super technology isn't going to work once you're aware of them. And again, they're like most Stalins or Hitlers or Vlad the Impaler or any of these crazies, and they get on power trips, they like to kill people. That's the aberrant kind of societal cancer that gets into power. And we've got a case of this right now. And let me tell you, it's only going to get worse as long as they're on the driver's seat. And they're going to try to create bait and switches and put new people in the driver's seat, but going in the same direction that worked for them. And that's what Mitt Romney and these guys are, and Rick Perry. They are from the very same group putting on our uniforms now of liberty to try to fool us. It's very elementary. And these guys are not with us. They put on our uniforms. Here's the dossiers on them that they work for the other team. And if you are so conned by their uniform, oh, but I like their black hair on the uniform. They look politically sharp in it. I hate Obama. I'm going to buy into Rick Perry and Mitt Romney. And you turn your back and they stab you right in the back. It's not even because they're traitors. They were brought up to destroy us. They're dominators. They're criminals. They enjoy it. They sit around and laugh at you. They like bondage. They are psychopaths. And their rulers are psychopaths. Their bosses are. They like it. You like healthy, happy, successful people. They don't like that. Get it through your head. They like black uniforms and stomping on your face. And they hire people that like that. And good people have got to get geared up to devastate the enemy in the info war. Devastate them. We can defeat them so easily. We've got the power. We've got the will. We've got the information. But you have got to start seeing yourselves as leaders right now. There's nothing more frustrating than knowing we can devastate the enemy. We can devastate them 110% every time we take the field. But you got to be willing to take the sacrifice. Not all of us are going to make it through this politically, financially, or physically. I don't care. Commit. The guy in Germany hung up. I was about to go to him. Let's go ahead and talk to... I'll never get back in, the caller from Germany, but... let's talk to Keith in North Carolina. We already talked to Keith. Or another caller from North Carolina. Okay, go ahead, Keith.
Can you hear me, Alex?
Yes, sir. Sorry, I'm ranting.
It's great to get on finally here. Just wanted to make a little comment on what you said earlier about quitting and running off. I know that you were just joking, but, I mean, it's sad when you know about Randy Weaver and what happened to him when he tried to do that.
Yeah, they're not going to let you run off. They tell the local cops. Somebody flies an American flag, they want to be left alone, they're the enemy.
Exactly. Well, I got kind of some a couple things I want to make comments on. They're kind of broad, sweeping issues. I've been in the Army as an intelligence analyst for about 3 years now. I'd like to say I've been awake for about 2 years, and I've been a listener of your show for about a year now. And I need to bring to attention a program in the Army, and it works in all the services. This is really for the service members here. I submitted my paperwork for a conscientious objection a couple months ago. I kind of see it as I need to be on the right side of this thing when they start taking guns away, if you know what I mean. I think most people in the service don't even know this program exists, and nobody here did until I submitted the paperwork. So I think it's something people need to take into consideration if they fall into that category.
You know what? Stay there. You know what? Skip this break. I know the outro's already going, but I got to hit some financial news, too. Let's just dump that. Network break. Stations should not cut play over this. In case your listeners out there, this is a network break. Now for folks, you know, obviously you're not going to violate the national security letters, but what do you make of the admission that the Federal Reserve has the Army spying on Ron Paul and Ron Paul rallies, including rallies I've been at in Dallas and Houston, and that they now are taking a list of names of Americans that criticize them? That is confirmed. What do you make of that, A, and B, what would make you say that you have to become a conscientious objector because of gun confiscation coming up? Are you getting that intelligence?
Well, Alex, I mean, a lot of people in the Army aren't as involved in the intelligence community as you may think. So I wouldn't say it's the Army so much that's collecting on Ron Paul. That's more of like a FBI, CIA level thing. The Army, the thing about the gun confiscation is it's happened before. It happened in Katrina. You had Army walking the streets and taking guns. In fact, the 82nd was down there. I am part of the 82nd. I wasn't around for that, but I was not informed when I joined. The thing is that...
No, but you're saying you're in an intelligence unit, and in case you missed it, sir, it's in Paul Watson's article today on this. The Army, that's what I'm telling you, the Army has been dispatched for 3.5 years that we know of, and they do use Army... National Guard intelligence to watch in the fetters. That is confirmed.
Okay, Alex. The thing is, it's very compartmentalized. the most you see coming from that directly in other parts of the armies, you'll see just different training. You'll see training shift from looking at things in Afghanistan and Iraq to all of a sudden we're looking at things in the area. So it's always very obscure when it comes down. It's
sure, you're collecting data for the brain bugs above you that assemble it.
I mean, in a way, yes. But in a way, a lot of times it's very obscure. So it's kind of like if Big Army wants to put out a lot of feelers, they might get a little something back from here and there. So nothing, I couldn't really elaborate on that so much, even if I did see something. But it's not really what a lot of people think when they think of Army intelligence. The Army intelligence, for the most part, doesn't go out and do that sort of work. It's played up a lot. So,
well, no. Army intelligence is mainly meant to spy on in the Fed rallies to create an intelligence, the idea that it's dirty, that the Ron Paul is so evil that the Army has to go out and collect data on him. You know, it's basically wargaming that this is your enemy.
I understand that. And of course, they're ramping up things to deal with domestic terrorism, the white terrorists, all this. But those things don't reach far out of the local place where they're happening there at that time. Like I said, I wouldn't know much about that as far away as I am from that event.
No, I understand. They deliver the propaganda right down to the local specific area to create the delusion there as it's repeated around in a game of telephone. Yes, the conscientious objection thing, instead of just going AWOL or not following orders, you just conscientious object, and they pretty much have to let you out. Or they have hearings, correct?
It is about hearings. There's two interviews and a hearing. There's an interview with the chaplain, and there's an interview with a psychiatrist. And then you have a hearing with an investigative officer. Now, it's a heck of a process, Alex. And, you know, I've had to do lots of paperwork. I've, I had to write a 7-page essay. I had to have reference letters. But it seems like it's going well for me. I've done very well with my chaplain.
Well, what about launching the Libya war without congressional approval? I mean, right there, I mean, the military should have refused to do that. It was illegal. I got to jump. I appreciate your call. I mean, it's illegal. And if you'll follow that illegal order, what's next? I mean, Bush, those wars were bad, but he went and got congressional approval. Obama said, I don't need Congress, even when Congress said something. Folks, that's a big deal. Look at the Super Congress over the spending bills now. That's totally unconstitutional. See, the bottom is dropping out, folks. Once you let them run over the Bill of Rights and Constitution and break the law, the sky's the stinking limit, and none of us are safe. Remember that. Corruption's cutesy for a while till you reach this point. It isn't so cutesy now. All right. You know what? I'm having to get Ted Anderson up tomorrow, but I'm going to bring him up now, and we'll do 5 minutes of overdrive. And I got to a lot of the news. I didn't get to some of it, but I'll be back tonight, 7:00 Central. Please join us. We're putting a lot of time and energy into this, and it is a devastating attack on the globalists, but it'll be guaranteed to be more devastating if you get the word out, support prisonplanet.tv. I wanted to bring Ted Anderson up here because we've seen gold and silver plunging in the last week, and they raised margins in Asia as well as here to where basically they've knocked all speculation out of it so that speculation will go back into currencies and that manipulation. But the market fundamentals, and now gold and silver have started to spike back up now. Gold and silver, though, the fundamentals are there's global devaluation. So they can pull these games, but long-term, market fundamentals are it's only going to go up because the dollar's being devalued. Ted, briefly, break down what's happening right now.
Well, like you said, the CME is raising its margin requirements. It happened in Asia. I mean, the global governments are doing everything they can, throwing their kitchen sink against this thing to try to make gold and silver come down. And they're having some success here just at the moment. But I like that analogy where you say it's like holding a beach ball underwater. There is absolutely no way with the kind of world crises that we're dealing with. I mean, you listen to what's going on. Well, why is gold going down? Read Bloomberg. They're saying it's because there's a crisis going on in Europe right now, and therefore everything's getting sold off, and gold is a part of it.
Yeah, this is part of the depressionary black hole. But on the other side of it, gold and silver will be sitting the best of any commodity.
That's exactly right, Alex. And they're making it so much, you know, cost so much less, which is just exactly what people need. They need this break. This is the time that people can actually get in before this thing completely
Yeah, we've seen gold bounce back up some today, but especially silver. It went way down, had a big rebound.
Yeah, it did. I mean, silver hit a low of $27.88 and then up again well over $30 an ounce. I mean, right now, Walking Liberty halves, for example, are trading right now at $15.65. They were $20 here just a week ago. I mean, the bags of survival dimes are a great buy at this time. $20 gold pieces or U.S.
You know, Ted, you know when I buy. I buy when it dips like this. That's when you buy. But folks will be buying it in a few weeks when it goes back up. When you're selling it at the low price then. I mean, I really do believe in gold and silver and the fundamentals, and I've never sold the silver I bought at $5 or the gold I bought at $265, and I won't be selling now. I'll be buying. 800-686-2237. Give Midas Resources a call. How much is the American Dream now for the two silver dollars and the film and the book?
I've dropped that $10 for the set, so it's $78 rather than $88. Again, we sold thousands of those at that higher price. Please take
$77. That's the shipping, the book, the video, and everything. The two silver dollars, $77, 800-686-2237, 800-686-2237, or MidasResources.com. Big banners up at InfoWars.com. We'll see you all back live tomorrow and tonight, 7 o'clock Central. All right, we're back with Ted Anderson. Ted, what do you make of the Federal Reserve putting out the announcement that they're going to start spying on anybody and everybody that talks about them in the blogosphere because they're hemorrhaging all support? What do you make of that?
Well, you know, that is, and what that is it's just a indication as to how much control that they think that they have. And how much support is going away from them? How much, you know, how many people are pushing back against them? They're really frightened as to whether they'll lose power over the countries of the world. You know, they've had the world currency status for so long, and now it's all falling apart on them. And, you know, as they're crashing and burning, they're doing what they can to try to push and prod.
That's why the Swiss lowered their currency a few weeks ago. This is all an attempt to prop up the global currencies, and we've seen them do this to gold and silver before, but it only retraces back because of the market fundamentals. And that's why we have seen talk, though, of trying to restrict gold trading, Ted. And that is a way the system could try to artificially hold it down.
That's one of the few tricks they have left in their bag. Why, at this time, when gold was already correcting, would they raise the reserve requirements at the CME in the Far East? And by the way, why are they raising it in another country? If the United States Federal Reserve System wants to manipulate the marketplace, you think they'd only have the ability to manipulate here in the United States. Obviously, this New World Order, world government thing is for real because it's happening across the globe. And I can tell you, what they're doing is they're fighting for control. They have a window of opportunity here where gold and silver started to correct, and they want to push it down further, so they're doing what they can. And raising the reserve requirements up past 21% in order to do a trade in the futures market doubles the amount of money it takes in order to hold the same position. And so that's why you're seeing the correction right now. But you've hit the nail right on the head, Alex. You can only manipulate the market for so long, and then the real market, the free market, will prevail. And what we're seeing right now going on, the meltdown in Europe and the meltdown, of course, in the United States and everywhere across the globe, we're going to see gold and silver return. And that's why I say this is one of those opportunities. It's exactly what the people need. They need to be able to buy gold and silver, and they need to be able to get more for their money. And this is what we want. I mean, seriously, they're in there trying to push down this beach ball under the water. Guess what? When it comes raging back, it's going to be like a stretched out rubber band, and it's going to fling back that much more in the other direction.
Well, that's what I was going to say, Ted, is that even if they come in, and we've seen some talk about this now, even in the mainstream whore news, even if they come in and try to ban gold trading or something like they've done before, always 2 or 3 years later, when they take the restrictions off, it skyrockets above what it did before then. So the and people say, well, they'll come confiscate it. At a certain point, you got to stop letting criminals come and say, give me your kids. You got to say no. Right. Government comes, says, I'm going to take your blood at a checkpoint. You got to say no. Nazis say, we're taking you to a death camp. You got to say no. Well, at a certain point, you got to start saying no.
At least they have to show up at your door to confiscate your wealth if you have gold and silver. If you have their paper currency, all they have to do is turn on the printing press, and they're taking
your
wealth.
That's right. They're already stealing your dollar value and your euro value. So that's why, and your yen and your yuan value. So that's why they're coming in and trying to knock out gold and silver, because it's an alternative competing real currency. So they're waging all-out war against it. And I expected this to happen earlier, but I saw J.P. Morgan say it was going to go to 2,500 by Christmas. I saw all of this and thought, well, okay, I guess so. But as Europe melts down, they just can't let gold and silver do this. And what's weird is they've done this, as you know, three or four times the last 3 years, Ted. And so even as it goes back up, as it has in the past, I would expect it is, people will still say, yeah, but you saw it go down that time.
Well, I can tell you right now, Alex, this is a little bit different because we have a lot of people interested in buying right now. It's really refreshing to see people getting involved when the market is lower like this.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing from Bob Chapman and others, is that people really now get it. They understand the fundamentals. Well, folks, get gold and silver while it's lower right now. The best place, Patriot-owned and operated, Midas Resources, 800-686-2237. Ted, thank you so much.